Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan?
Hello, sir.
Dan.
How do you do?
As a very polite person, which I know you to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
If you were at a, let's just call it like a regular party. Like one of those parties, not like a dinner party,
like
but one of those.
Like a debutante ball?
No, not like a debutante ball, because you, my friend, have already been displayed and you are fantastic.
Thank you very much. Now who's polite?
Now who's polite?
So you're talking about like maybe a gender reveal party.
Maybe a gender reveal party. I was thinking specifically baby shower.
Baby shower. All right.
Now, yeah, you're at a baby shower.
All right.
And the mother to be, you don't know the gender yet.
No. The second party has not happened.
She asks you, what should my, fetus, eventually listen to?
Right.
And could you describe whether or not, or perhaps the relative knowledge of Alex Jones that these people might have?
I would say that by the time this show will be appropriate to your coming baby, the world will be long over. And so it is irrelevant. However, if your child is taken up by the aliens, much like the children at the end of that Nicolas Cage movie. What was that?
What?
Wasn't Nicolas Cage. It should have been Nicolas Cage.
What do you mean it should have been Nicolas Cage?
It was the John Cusack movie 2012.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been a Nicolas Cage
movie.
And it ends with the two children being taken up by the aliens
Is that how that movie ended?
To repopulate the new planet. Yeah, that's how it ends. Spoiler alert for 2012.
I thought that the world was ending.
It is. And then there are aliens? Yeah, the aliens come down at the end.
There's just a random out of the blue aliens.
Let me be clear.
Yes.
I might be conflating two movies. My point is,
isn't this a C.S. Lewis novel? Never mind.
No, certainly right. not. My point is, if your child is one of those children, then maybe there'll be archives at the aliens have aboard the ship, and they can listen back to what was happening in the culture back in 2018.
Right.
And they can find this podcast where I know a lot about Alex Jones. But little,
I don't know anything about
little
Alex
about
Jones.
Movies.
That Ooh. Is a torturous way to listen to this show.
So, Jordan.
Although now I kind of feel like, thanks, aliens.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we made the cut.
I'd like to thank the aliens, but also I'd like to thank couple of our new donors.
It's been a while since we recorded. This is a delight.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm on an empty stomach, so.
So let's ride this out.
Maybe it turns out I should always broadcast on an empty stomach.
Entirely possible.
So I'd like to give a shout out and a thank you to, looks like in my soundboard. Oh, wait, there it is. Never mind. I thought I had lost our policy wonk soundbites.
Oh, no.
I have not.
Okay, good.
And so I'd like to give a shout out to a couple new donors. First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for joining up with the team, Destin.
I'm a policy wonk.
We appreciate it so much.
Yes, thank you very much for joining.
We appreciate it. Also, like to say thank you very much to someone who came in at a little bit of a higher level of donation.
Okay.
I'd like to say thank you very much to Michael. You are officially a globalist.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you very much, Michael.
If you'd like to become a policy wonk yourself, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com, and click the support the show button. We would appreciate it. It means a lot, and we're getting really dangerously close to the point where I can live freely.
Yes. Yes.
And that's nice. It's really appreciated.
Yeah.
I support it. I've got a lot of big work in the oven, let's say. A lot of cooking in the oven of things that everyone is going to really enjoy, but it's very work intensive and it may take a while. And so when this info baby is born,
Boy, I don't like any of the words that you just used.
I'm very hungry.
I'm cooking in the oven.
Right.
And there's an info baby coming out.
I don't know.
I'm out.
Mixing metaphors across the board. But I appreciate it.
This is a baby shower.
Absolutely. Mazel tov. So we have a Facebook group, Jordan. It's called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant. And
it is.
A lot of folks get together and, sometimes bicker a little bit in a fun way. Sometimes post Daddy Shark memes.
It's never a bad idea.
It's a delightful time. But, in the group, I was noticing a little bit of a trend. And that is that a couple people had commented that we have not talked about the present day in a long time.
We have not talked about the present day in a long time.
We've talked a lot about 2009 because I'm doing a bit of work on digging into the beginning of the Tea Party, of course. And then we introduced Jim Baker into our fold.
That fucking guy.
Rave reviews on the Jim Baker episode. People seem to love us including him, so we'll revisit that in the future. I found
it. Us including him in our show.
Yes.
Not us including him.
Yes. Yeah, no.
people love us including him.
People like that we are talking about him.
Yes.
And gotcha. I found an amazing episode that'll be coming soon.
Ooh.
Of him. It's utter lunacy.
Okay.
But
it take place entirely at the general store?
I wish it did. There is a general store commercial though. Lot of action. Lot of action at that
lot
general store.
Lot of action at that general store.
So, I admit and I accept the criticism that we've been derelict in our duty somewhat of, covering the present day Alex Jones. And that's true. And some of it is escapism on our part, but I contend also that most of the stuff he's saying is stupid and, distractionary. It doesn't mean anything. He's just yelling into the ether. I don't want to cover it. It's not that it bums me out. I just think if I watch it, it makes for a boring show.
Right.
Like you and I are, I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else, but I think that our skills and what we can bring to the table is not best used in terms of like just doing an entire episode about him screaming about something.
Right.
We have done a couple of those in the past when they have come up and Lord knows they're fairly fun, but
they can be.
Ultimately, it's so much candy. You know, there's no nutritional value to it, and we're just, what's going on?
I'm just, you're
staring at me.
You're giving people health advice, while at the same time, you're bringing out info babies, you're cooking in the oven,
right.
Dan. You're trying to locale us. What's going on here?
I don't know. So, just to cover a couple things that we're not really going to be talking about, and I'm sure you want to talk about this a little bit.
Perhaps. Do I?
The, New York 14 race.
Alexandria. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Awesome. I was like,
I expected more.
What do you mean? What do you want from me?
I
hope she would win. She's amazing. She is doing everything right. She's got all the right positions. And, the only observation you can take away from her, a brilliant and inspiring campaign is that Nancy Pelosi should fucking go.
She should be shook.
She should be gone.
Shook.
She should just quit. Like, the moment she won that race, Nancy Pelosi should have been like,
uh-oh.
Oh, I'm old. I forgot that I am 8 million years older than Alexandria. Okay.
Now, I mean, not to take anything away from it, because it's an amazing win, and I hope it's a harbinger of things to come. But, you know, it is a super liberal district and all that. So there's reasons why a lot of people could underplay things and have a pretty decent argument to make. But I don't want to talk about anything to do with that. Alex Jones's approach to it has been that this primary campaign.
Coming encroachment of communism.
Absolutely.
Which is what the Russians don't want anymore because of God or whatever.
Well,
right?
No, the Russians don't really come into play as much. But he's posted a number of videos about how this is like going to bring about civil war, and that it's
fine. I'm cool with that.
Though she is a democratic socialist, he is saying he's putting out these videos, and a lot of people, I believe, in our group misunderstand this, fundamental piece of Alex's cosmology. So I feel like it might be a good opportunity to explain it. He's arguing that this is communism, run amok, though this is democratic socialism.
Of course.
And the reason for that dates back to his beliefs that come from None Dare Call It Conspiracy, the John Birch Society folk.
Socialism leads to communism.
Exactly.
Always does.
Socialism is
that
the
makes
soft
perfect
sell
sense.
For the people, to lead into communism, because you're like, all this free stuff you're gonna get with socialism.
Right.
And then, before you know it, it's communism, which is really totalitarianism in disguise.
Yeah.
And it's all run by corporate interests.
Which is a classic argument I think they brought about, especially in the 30s, like immediately
yes.
following the stock market crash. They were like, we hate the Russians, they're communists.
Mm-hmm.
So we realize that everybody is on board with socialism and railroad barons are still a thing, so we can't be having that.
Right.
So how do we make it so that all of this works out? Well, socialism, it's got an ism at the end of that. It sounds like communism. Done.
Yeah.
1-to-1. Call it a game.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of here.
If you look at where a lot of these beliefs come from, most of it comes from rampant anti-communist fear propaganda. Yep. That was around years and years ago. And then, into this day. And then also just from flimsy ahistorical things like None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I promise I'll do a much better job of explaining all of what's wrong with None Dare Call It Conspiracy in the near future. But if we were to do it right now, we'd be here for 6 hours.
Right.
So we're not going to do that. That all is coming.
And but it's just important to note that most anti-socialism propaganda comes from the people who are threatened most by it. Rich people. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. The people who are best served by these narratives are the people who want to retain corporatism.
Who would have guessed?
Capital oppression and exploitation.
Hey, it's good that the Koch brothers control the system.
So my biggest point that I wanted to make with that is that people who are saying that, like, hey, isn't it stupid he's just calling this communism? Yes, it is stupid, but there's a reason for it, and it comes back to that piece of his worldview. And I watched the video, and I don't particularly want to go over that, so we're not talking about that today. And not because I don't...
Oh, he did a special report?
Yeah, he did. Well, gotcha. I think it was just like a half hour of his show that he released as a like a bonus
standalone
clip.
Okay.
Standalone emergency report.
Of course.
I just don't find it all that interesting, and I don't know. I mean, it's just fear. It's just fear being repackaged, which I guess is our entire show.
Fair.
But he put out a special report on Saturday, which is yesterday as we're recording this on Sunday, where he said that the globalists have announced that this 4th of July is the last 4th of July.
Okay, now I'm in.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He just wants to sell stuff.
Independence Day?
Yeah. There's an Independence Day
sale. Where is Bill Pullman when you need him?
See, he put out an 11-minute video, and I really thought it was going to be his Bill Pullman speech.
Like, right. Has to be the Bill Pullman speech.
Low energy Alex came into the studio to do this special report.
Disappointing.
And he's just like, this will be... the beginning of 1776 2.0. I thought it began like 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Didn't that happen way back when?
He's just redoing all this stuff and be like, we're under attack. And then he put out a ad on his website that's just, I want you to get 50% off. So I was just like, all right.
These prices, I hope, aren't too low.
Yeah. July 3rd, a day that will live in infamy when I cut prices too far. I don't know. I'm trying to repackage historical stuff. I don't know. Look, the issue that we have here is that, like, okay, in the real world, we have Roger Stone's aides being subpoenaed and being forced to come before a grand jury. We have Roger Stone admitting that he met with a guy about getting dirt from Hillary. It turns out it was a Russian guy.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
We have indications that are coming out now that North Korea is actually ramping up nuclear testing.
Of course they were.
And research was like,
come
no
on,
shit.
Trump is a dummy.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you fuck with him?
So all this stuff. And, of course, the other day we had that Department of Homeland Security report that came out. That started with "We must secure," and the title was 14 words.
Yeah, the 14
long.
Words is an interesting. Oh no, they're all Nazis.
We have all this stuff coming, like happening, and I think that Alex is realizing. Oh, and of course, on the 30th, we had all these marches around the country, and on the 29th too. There was even more. The 29th, the 30th, you had all these marches where people were coming together against the family separation policy and how we treat immigrants and. That turned into a lot of abolish ICE protests and, you know, what have you. And so I think Alex is seeing that and he's like, shit. And so now there's the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's won this race in New York as a Democratic Socialist and unseated the person who was, everyone keeps saying, was in line for possible House Speaker.
Yeah, which also means giant piece of shit.
Right, but, you know, you have this, and Alex, he's not that dumb to not see the writing on the wall.
Right.
Whereas Trump wants to put up the front of, like, hey, this super powerful Democrat lost his primary race. Alex is kind of, I mean, he has to realize, like, hey, that was a fucking socialist who beat a very popular, entrenched, Democrat. That means more to him. So I think he's just really scared and he's going to be lashing out and yelling a bunch of shit and who cares?
Yeah.
So I don't care. I don't want to talk about it. I do, what we are going to talk about is the 28th, June 28th. We're going to, that Thursday episode, we're going to be talking about because I think Alex Jones might be trolling me. And Roger Stone might also be trolling me.
Your paranoia has reached a level where they're specifically targeting you.
And it's based on this out of context drop.
Okay.
Alex, that beard is looking really good.
No. No. No, it is not. I think.
I've heard about the beard. I have studiously avoided looking at it.
Looks like shit.
I'm not allowed to look at the beard.
It looks atrocious.
I know nothing about Alex Jones. I assume it looks atrocious.
It doesn't fit his face. It's gross. He looks like a disaster. I believe he's been referred to as chubby Wolverine dad a couple times.
That's not bad.
It's a mess. And I think that the two of them have done enough background research on me to know that I have very strong opinions about beards.
You do have a lot of beards.
And so now they're pretending that, this is a great beard. No, it's not. You're trying to trigger me. Either that or it's Roger Stone living his best life and he loves Alex looking like shit.
It's Roger Stone trolling Alex is what it is. At the end of the day, there's one thing we can be sure of.
Yes.
If Roger Stone is doing anything, it is making fun of Alex in the most obtuse way possible.
Perhaps. So this Thursday episode is pretty interesting. There's one sort of main line that goes throughout it, and then we get a weirdo guest and some bullshit along the way. So let's just dive in. Here is what I would say is Alex's main thrust on the Thursday show. This is the game he wants to play, and is the thread that runs throughout the first bit of the show.
Here's the bottom line. We have the globalists in total conniption fits over the justice leaving. And, of course, it was Roger Stone telling you that he would be leaving when they released these final group of rulings that they just did yesterday. He's retiring, giving the leftists the biggest fits of fear they've had yet. We're going to be going through some of that. But here's the deal. Roger's getting on an airplane right now. He's off in 3 hours. But I talked to him right before he took off. And I remember what he and others told me back when president was just president-elect. And then when the vacancy came up about who Trump's main pick was. But then they came to the president and they said, sir, but you promised to go with the most conservative judge. We've got a computer program that's going to decide that. So he said, okay, in round one, we'll go with what the computer picks.
What?
In round two, we're picking somebody else. And I know who it is. So I know who the current pick is right now. We'll come back
to
that.
Who is it?
Well, you know what he wants to do first.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
It is not. Okay. But he wants to tease it out. Alex Jones knows who the next Supreme Court justice is going to be.
That's not good.
Well, it's also probably not true. But
of course,
who do you think he's talking about?
Boy, I remember reading through the old
Judge Jeanine? The Judge Jeanine Pirro?
Yeah.
No.
Is it really going to be her?
No, no.
Okay.
Boom, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because I read through the list that he originally put out instead of Neil Gorsuch. There was the whole, like, 17 possible ones.
Sure, sure.
That's a murderer's row of awful.
Omarosa.
I wouldn't mind Omarosa.
I think you have to be an actual judge.
I don't think you do.
You have to at least pass the bar, I'm sure.
I really don't think you do.
I think there are requirements.
I'm pretty sure there aren't.
Yeah, it might not be.
Wasn't Garfield both Supreme Court Justice and President at the same time?
I still bet he passed the bar.
I bet he couldn't read.
Requirements.
That was a time before the Gutenberg Bible.
Requirements are merely suggestions, my friend.
Exactly. In this fucking administration, sir, you are correct.
So no other thoughts, no other ideas?
Dave.
From IT?
Yeah.
Our villain, Dave from IT, who hasn't shown his face in a long time. I don't know. No, it's, Dave is not in play.
Okay.
But, before he gets to telling who it is, he's gotta tease it out. You gotta keep, people entertained. And so he gets to this, which, is, interesting, a sort of standard thing that Alex says all the time.
And I read dozens and dozens of other books, hundreds of other magazine articles from Foreign Affairs and others, who thought you were so stupid, who thought I was so stupid, that they would have their own admitted world government plan going on in plain view. But then, if we criticized it, have ABC, CBS, NBC, and then later CNN, MSNBC, say we were crazy.
You're crazy.
Oh, I don't want Obamacare. It's a ripoff. You're racist. I don't like the Federal Reserve being private, being above the law. You're anti-Semitic. These are the talking points that they used for decades on everybody, like Ron Paul and myself.
I got bad news, man. The reason that people think Ron Paul is racist is because of that fucking newsletter he put out.
It's probably because of all the racist things.
It's probably because of that super racist newsletter.
That racist newsletter does point to bad things.
That he claims he didn't write, but, you know, was written in the first person and was called the Ron Paul Report.
If we had a magic racist ball, it would say signs point to yes.
Yeah, no shit. So there's that.
Yeah.
A bad example for him to bring up. And then also, if you want to say that that's the talking point, I would say that this is your talking point. Because I don't...
that's the talking point!
I have never accused him of being racist because he doesn't like Obamacare. I would say that might be a piece of why he doesn't like Obamacare, but my arguments are much deeper than that in terms of what makes him racist, which we've gone over
right.
ad nauseum.
Right.
What makes him anti-Semitic is the reliance on anti-Semitic tropes and the idea that he still believes these archaic versions of anti-Semitism and applies them to the modern day. It has nothing to do with his idea about the Federal Reserve being a privately run organization. That is a canard. He's using straw men to get himself off the hook of racism and anti-Semitism accusations.
Right.
It's just boring. It's just boring. I hate the modern day.
I mean, because so much of it is, I say this, they say I'm going to say this. I didn't say that. They said that. This is what they said.
Right.
I said this.
It's too much.
It's bickering.
It's dancing.
He's bickering as a radio show. Yeah.
He's bickering with himself. Yeah. He's creating fake versions of arguments against himself to respond to, which is fun.
Right.
I mean.
But even in Cheers in like season 7, they got together. Like you can only bicker for so long before you gotta fuck.
The will they, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is if you are going to bicker back and forth with the mainstream media, sooner or later, you guys gotta come together and figure out a medium ground, and then you date for a couple of seasons, there's a big wedding,
right.
Then you break up, you get a divorce, but then you get back together, the season finale's incredible.
Or you could do it like-
I think I'm just describing Scrubs, isn't that what I'm describing?
Or you could do it like House, where, he and Cuddy get together, but then it might have been him having a opioid hallucination.
See, now that's a great, oh man, what if he just fucked around and had a complete opposite day show?
I think he has been for years.
No.
You talking about Alex?
I'm talking about Alex. Yeah. Like, complete opposite day. No. I mean for him.
He just said he's read a bunch of stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
opposite day. But one day, he just gives it all away. And
so
he's like,
honest?
I can't read. I think Alexandria is the best thing for that district. I think she's a harbinger of great things to come from the millennials, which would be lovely, except we're all going to die before we can actually solve this bullshit that the baby boomers have left us. So I think, what we should do is stop being paranoid and start really working towards a better future, not just for our kids, but for the kids to come after us. And then he ends it with, isn't this what you're really afraid of?
And Lock,
then
rock, and beats!
Exactly! Call it!
And we have an Easter sale.
Well, of course.
So that's kind of stupid, and that's the sort of stuff we see all the time, and I don't think there's a ton of value.
You would actually have to end it with, all of these products are marked up to the point where
crazy.
The discount isn't even real. So this is really just MSRP that you're paying for these. The auto ship discount is bullshit.
God's honest truth is I'm jealous of Jim Baker. anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, this stuff is kind of like, that is standard, Alex, and it could happen at any point. It's not very interesting.
Right.
This next couple clips are really one of the big reasons why I decided that this episode is, we got to go over. Because Alex gets into an allegory, that might be a little misguided, for a number of reasons.
Is it the story of, what happens to the two kids at the end of 2012?
No, but it is, something, I have not studied 2012, the movie.
Right.
But I did study classics in college.
Yes.
I, studied ancient Greek, and through that I read a lot of mythology, and I will say that Alex Jones has not.
Did they predict 2012, though?
They didn't.
Okay.
And the victory over Hillary, the main minion of the globalist here in North America, the keeper of the secrets,
still
the keeper of the corruption,
Hillary?
And her big foundation.
Guys, let it go!
But here's why. You gotta let him have the allegory, baby.
Okay.
$4 billion in it being used to pay everybody off to be part of this. You could say that beating her in the campaign was one step in the victory.
You could.
Or you could say it was the whole step.
Beating her in the campaign was one step to victory. But just as you, in the mythical Greek story of her head being severed.
Forgot the name.
That is only the first.
This is Medusa?
Forgot her name, but yes.
Feet. You then have to defeat the globalist Kraken with the head.
So, no, hold on, hold on.
Okay, okay. No, you know what? As much as I know, you know way more, and I don't want to embarrass myself. So please.
Don't judge yet.
Please do what you do.
There's a couple more clips to get through, and then we will deconstruct what's wrong here.
Okay.
So Alex is presenting it as the first thing that needs to be done is cut off Medusa, the Gorgon's head.
Gotta cut off her head.
And then you fight the globalist Kraken, much like in mythology is what Perseus did. Now we'll get to the details on that in a second, but before that we'll let Alex flesh out his ideas.
But as a symbol of the globalist failure, as a symbol of their media lying that she'd be the winner, as the symbol of them saying Hillary must win or the dominoes falling to bring down globalism will be complete, archetypally, Trump is now holding up the Gorgon head and all the corruption and all the secrets and the entire global network tied into her as one of the top managers. He now has the Medusan head to take on the Kraken of the global network, the Chi-Coms, the unelected EU, Hollywood, all of it. That's why we have to continue to use her and bring her up and show how evil she is and bad and how she's a fraud and the corruption she was involved in. All of it trail back into the enemy's nest, and her head is a blueprint to defeat them.
Okay. I don't like that phrasing at the end there necessarily. It seems a lot like maybe Second Amendment people can take care of her, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It has that feel to it, and he doesn't say politically, although he does later say that Dan Rather should go fall in a grave politically.
Okay, well, that's nice.
And he kind of has to say that because of what happened this week with Milo.
Yeah.
That nonsense. Although I will say that from everything I've been able to tell about that case, I don't think that that guy was necessarily inspired by Milo saying gun down journalists. Not to say that Milo is okay or off the hook, but it doesn't appear that that guy seems like he had a long-standing beef with that paper. And I don't know.
Well, take this as you will. Salon had a whole giant piece about how he was in contact with right-wing Nazis that whole thing.
I don't doubt that.
So yeah, he was definitely that. I don't think it was Milo specifically.
I don't doubt that aspect at all. And then you also have these I think it was on the Huffington Post. They put out a piece where they like aired a bunch of their hate mail and stuff like that. They posted a bunch of things that people had sent them, and
yeah,
of course whether or not this guy was motivated from specific perceived grievance or generalized, it doesn't matter. It's symptomatic of something that all journalists are having to deal with, which is racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic, and just overall violent threats on their existence. And that sucks.
I mean, at the very least, just the concept of it, it should not be in the mainstream as a possibility.
I agree.
Like what is permeated throughout by Trump and by Milo and all of this stuff is it's open season.
Right, right.
Not necessarily you should do
even
this.
They deserve it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, even the responses a lot of people had to the shooting on the Chans and on Gab, all the responses you'd see be posted were like, good, journalists should live in fear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that
sort of thing. And like, that's a really cancerous mentality. Cause even like, I think Alex sucks, and I think he's one of the biggest problems that we have in the public rhetoric and discourse, but I don't think people should hurt him. Like, I think we've gone out of our way to be very, you might want him beat up, but.
I don't want him beat up.
You might.
I want him to lose his limbs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Politically.
No.
All right.
Look, physically.
We've gone off track here a little bit. We got to get back to the analogy.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. And so Trump now, like Perseus, head of Medusa, is ready to vanquish the globalists. The archetype is true. There's one more thing, though. Horse.
Really not using the word archetype correct.
If Trump doesn't have the air.
He needs a horse.
If Trump can't get his ideas across, he can't get up in the Titan's face.
He needs Pegasus.
And fry it. And that's why we're in an information war. We've got to get Trump on the horse, in the sky, with the head. And we'll win. So there is your analogy of Trump and the Gorgon and the Kraken. Because believe me, they are releasing the Kraken.
So there's your analogy.
So Jordan, I'd like to tell you.
That's a great summing up of it.
I'd like to tell you about mythology.
Oh! So tell me about it.
The story of Perseus slaying Medusa begins with his mother, Danae, being in a situation where she was going to be married to Polydectes, who Perseus viewed as a bad man. In order to do away with Perseus, because he was what was standing in between the marriage that Polydectes wanted to have,
right?
He plotted a way to get rid of Perseus. His plan was to throw a party where guests are expected to bring a specific gift. In this case, he chose a horse to honor Hippodamia, the goddess of horse managing. He did this because he knew that Perseus didn't have a horse.
Right.
Since that was the case, Perseus offered Polydectes an option to name a gift. In an attempt to get rid of him, Polydectes chose the head of Medusa, knowing that that would probably get Perseus killed. As Perseus was the half-son of Zeus, he got some help from the gods in terms of gear. Like, he got the helm of invisibility from Hades. He got flying shoes and shit like that.
There was a montage. It was great. Yeah, it was so good. He went to each place. No, it was fantastic.
So with all that gear in tow, he went off and killed Medusa as she slept. He returned with Medusa's head.
Like a hero.
I mean, based on the story, yes. But, I mean, if you look at it contextually, it's not great.
He heroically murdered her while she slept. Mm-hmm. The if I remember her backstory as well correctly, she was fucked over and then, okay, I'm
Hold
sorry.
On.
I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
Getting ahead. So he returned with Medusa's head, only to find that Polydectes had made his mother a servant, since she would not marry him even with Perseus gone. Perseus barged into the banquet hall and yelled, all of our friends, don't look. Something like along those lines.
Ollie ollie, oxen free.
Basically. And he turned everyone there into stone with Medusa's head. On his way back, he went ahead and mercy killed Atlas. The guy who has to push the world up a hill and then go
see
down.
Now that was heroic.
Well, I think Alice was also a dick to him, but he felt bad that he had to keep doing this up and down thing, and so he turned him to stone.
Atlas gets a pass. Of course, he's a dick.
Sure.
How long has he been doing that?
Bummer.
For?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Same with Prometheus. He can be
right,
an asshole. If
right.
He wants.
Right. Right. Right.
His liver pecked out all the time.
Yeah. Come on. Give him some credit.
So along the way, he also found Andromeda, who he made his wife. But one thing he didn't do was battle a kraken. That is because krakens are not part of Greek mythology, but actually, they come from 13th century Icelandic tales about seaborne monsters.
Right.
Also, it wasn't seen as a mythical creature to the Icelandic people, but instead a real living cephalopod. Carl Linnaeus even included it in his original taxonomy of biological creatures, and in later editions took it out.
It was a giant squid.
No, it was actually more of a crab-like being in the original.
It was a crab-like being? Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
It was a giant crab?
Yep. So the kraken stuff is not real to this. Actually, I would posit that putting some of the finer points of what Hillary did and didn't do in the campaign aside, not to paint her as any kind of heroic figure, I would say a better comparison for Hillary Clinton and Medusa would be the following. Medusa was originally just a human woman minding her own business, and then Poseidon raped her in Athena's temple. Athena blamed Medusa for that act and turned her hair into snakes and made her face horrifying so as to turn anyone who looked upon her into stone. From that point forward, because of something that happened to her, she ceased to be human, but instead became a grotesque and hideous symbol. You might say that Alex Jones has done that with Hillary Clinton.
You could say that this is a perfect example of victim blaming.
Well, Poseidon, I guess, in this case would be Larry Nichols. Metaphorically.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Yeah. I don't know.
The issue is, like, this stuff that Alex is talking about isn't from mythology. It's from that Clash of the Titans movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he's talking about. The moment he said Kraken, I was like, he just wants to hear a...
Release the Kraken!
Exactly.
It's not from... Like, he's talking about archetypes. That movie came out 3 years ago.
I was just going to say, like, I don't remember a fucking Kraken.
There isn't one.
I don't remember a Kraken. I remember the Hydra.
Sure.
The Hydra's great.
Could use that.
I remember a lot of different things from Greek mythology. I don't remember a Kraken.
If you use the Hydra, you'd have to flip into a different person's story, or like the Minotaur, but then you'd have to go with Theseus.
Minotaur would be fun.
There's other issues with Theseus' stories, too.
This is why Greek mythology is so much better than most other religions. It's so good.
I love...
It's just random.
I love mythology. I mean, it extends to, like, you know, like Native American cultures, too. Like, yeah. I love mythology, but man, when you take it too seriously, you're dumb. And then, when you pretend that movies that came out in the 2010s represent actual archetypes from mythology, what you're doing is being very stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happens when you drop out of junior college and think you're really smart.
I really don't think he's using the word archetypal correctly. I think ever.
He's trying to, though.
I think he's got a 60-40 relationship with the word archetypal.
No. I mean, is batting average?
Yeah.
No, way
no,
lower.
No. The other. I think he's got a 40-60.
Way lower.
Way lower, you think so? I've heard him use it.
10-90.
I've heard him use it correctly before.
Beg to differ. So, at this point, Alex Jones, is done with his, Kraken rambling, and again, I think that, like, that, he put that out as, like, a standalone piece also. That, like, rant about the,
sure.
The Pegasus and the, oh, the other problem that I have, I forgot to even bring this up, is that, the idea that now that he's slayed Medusa and has to fight the Kraken, he needs Pegasus, because Pegasus is what's going to get him up and fly him to the place where he needs to be. Look, dude, if you go back to Perseus' myth, if he's slayed Medusa, he already has Pegasus. Pegasus came out of Medusa, but he killed her. That's part of the whole myth. It's not like, if you have killed the Gorgon, you are friends with Pegasus. Pegasus is how he got back to kill Polydectes.
I remember in the Disney movie Hercules that Pegasus was made by Zeus and Hera, and they had a great relationship. They were a pair of loving parents.
I don't actually remember this 100% being the case, but if I recall correctly, Pegasus is actually the result of the original rape of Poseidon. So it's not actually a really great thing.
You know, the
offspring of Poseidon and Medusa, as it
were. Right. Yeah. I think if I was going to grade his paper, one, I'd say you can't have a paragraph as a paper. That doesn't count. You're gonna have to go back and rewrite it.
I would say not complete. That's
what
I would grade it.
At the very least, hamburger essay. At the very least, hamburger essay.
What does that mean?
What do you mean you don't know what a hamburger essay is?
I don't know what a hamburger essay is.
Did you drop out of junior college?
No, I graduated from real college.
No, it's like a basic, you know, intro, all 3 year points, 3 paragraphs supporting your argument.
It's like lettuce, burger, tomato.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've never heard it called that, but yeah. I don't know. I just assume they're like bare bones essay or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
It's like a formulaic.
Exactly. Get it in, get it out.
Did not know, although that makes me think of the game Burger Time, and it gets me really excited. Remember that game? It's a great video game.
Yeah, but it never turned me on. It was no Leisure Suit Larry.
I'd said I was excited.
I know.
You're running around chasing pickles with salt. It's really fun. Anyway, at this point, Alex pivots from a historical, anti-mythological ramblings and gets into his favorite villain.
I mean, almost any evil you investigate, you run into Soros and the UN and the IMF and the World Bank. Like most of it was in the news yesterday. It was in Bloomberg that most of the workers' comp and an ambulance chaser, exploding tire stuff in the country is financed by George Soros.
Most of it.
And I already knew that.
What?
But think about that.
Think about it. What do you think about that?
What do I think? Why?
What do you mean?
I mean, why? Does he get a cut?
Soros just wants,
Does he just want sues?
Wants
people to sue?
Jam up the courts with this bullshit.
Most every ambulance, if you've ever seen a commercial that's like, have you ever had mesothelioma?
Dude, have you seen a park bench?
George Soros.
Soros. Back of the, yellow pages back in the day. That was all Soros, baby. Late night infomercials, all of it. That's all Soros.
I should have known.
And actually, I looked into this. He's right. He's not. I was curious about this one.
Why? That's so obviously stupid. That's just statistically, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, because I knew
he couldn't afford that.
But he did mention Bloomberg, and that means I have a thread to pull.
That's true.
I can look into what he's talking about.
That's true.
And so the article Alex is reading and talking about is actually probably this opinion piece that was on Lou Rockwell's website that cites an RT article. But in that article, it also mentions the Bloomberg piece. But I think Alex just used that to give himself the veneer of credibility.
Right.
Because the Bloomberg piece does not at all support the assertions that he's making. I'll read to you from the Bloomberg article. Quote, Soros Fund Management is pushing into the branch of litigation finance that few hedge funds have entered. His family office is bankrolling a company that's creating investment portfolios out of lawsuits, according to a May regulatory finding. The firm Soros is backing, Mighty Group, bundles cash advances that small shops extend to plaintiffs in personal injury suits in return for a cut of future investments. Wall Street has been betting for a while on commercial litigation, which provides financing of big corporate suits with millions or even billions of dollars at stake. Soros is focused on the consumer side, where plaintiffs receive advances of $2,000 on average for legal claims, typically tied to auto and construction accidents. The advances are used to cover personal expenses such as medical bills and rent. So while some worry that this sort of thing could increase frivolous lawsuits, that argument is made, and I don't know necessarily if that's true. Certainly there's no data to support that at this point.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I can't find any studies that reflect that this has led to an increase in frivolous lawsuits. One of the important...
Yeah, that sounds like pure speculation.
One of the more important things to consider is this. Quote, industry proponents say the funding helps people win appropriate payouts instead of settling for pennies on the dollar under the pressure of medical bills or missed income from work.
Right.
In addition, plaintiffs don't have to pay back the advances if they lose their cases. So, as opposed to cash advances people could get in these situations, which require collateral like cars and houses, this is just a piece of paper. If the case goes south, there's nothing that the funding group can reclaim or take away from you. This sort of thing, I think, while we do need to keep an eye on the idea that frivolous lawsuits could go up, this sort of thing is incredibly powerfully helpful to people who are in situations where they have a righteous suit against somebody, but can't pay their medical bills. Or let's say it has something to do with their car and their car is totaled. They can't get transportation without some sort of help.
Right.
So this group comes in, gives them like $2,000 in order to get by as they proceed through this case. Then they get their settlement of like $15,000 or whatever, pay back the $2,000, and then walk away with the $13,000 that they should have gotten from the settlement to begin with, as opposed to settling for like $3,000 and in the meantime, while the case is going on, racking up like $8,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
This sort
of
thing seems like actually a really positive, very helpful thing that Alex is presenting as Soros funds all of the ambulance chasing in America, which is, horseshit.
I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I feel like it's a good thing, and at the same time, I don't know if I like an investment bank bankrolling lawsuits? I have no idea how I feel about that. Well, that's a situation have no concept
for. It's been going on for decades already.
Yeah. Okay, well then fuck yeah.
It's been going on for decades already, but largely it's been only the avenue of large firms, and they would only do it with big corporate interests. So like big cases where there was a higher stakes reward.
Yeah.
Because you get like a much bigger cut of a bigger case.
Oh, of course.
So the difference is that Soros is applying it, or at least this group, Mighty Group, which he has put some funding into, is applying it to people who don't have tons of resources behind them. And if they do lose their case, then you just gotta eat it. And so on that, on that sense, you know, it's one of those things that I agree with you. It seems like there are parts of it that I don't know if I feel 100% comfortable with, but the bigger piece is, like, if done well, this is great.
Yes.
That's what I feel about it. If done the way it seems like it goes, great.
Here's how I feel about it. I think that it is a good concept that should not have been privatized. That's what I think. Cause I think ultimately this
the
is like a-
should,
Yeah, this is ultimately a pro-labor kind of situation.
More or less, yeah.
Or a pro-worker. Yeah, exactly.
Pro-individual.
Exactly. So they should absolutely be allowed to, because if you're fighting up against a multi-billion dollar corporation and you can't afford food, you're much more likely to settle, and they're much more likely to get away with their terrible actions.
And they consider that in their calculus.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they put that into their fucking budget at the end of the day. They've got like a, we're going to set this aside for all the evil
budget.
Shit that we did,
for sure.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm all for this. And at the same time, I don't like there being like an investment firm. I just don't like the words investment firm. I don't know how to feel about this.
It's got a bad taste in our mouths.
Yeah.
It's understandable, but I don't know. I feel like all we're doing is saying like, huh?
I would need to look into this way more to figure out whether or not I am okay with it. I feel like I'm okay and I don't, this is confusing.
To put a ribbon around this, a little button on the end, I would say, sounds good. Who knows?
Exactly.
Also, not what Alex is saying.
Right.
So that's the more important piece.
Right. Yes.
Alex
yes,
is fucking lying.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember this, but back at the beginning of the show, Alex said he knew who the Supreme Court pick was.
I do remember that.
And
now, continuing, ladies and gentlemen, they are all in because they are losing.
All in. Why does he keep saying all in? Is he going to fucking show up at that wrestling show?
I hope so.
Alex is all in.
He's money in the bank.
We are winning. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to tell you currently, exclusively, hiding in plain view, who is currently the person about to be nominated to replace the outgoing Justice Kennedy.
That's pathetic.
And I was told this back at the time. I know about what went on. I know the inside baseball. I was told all of it. And then a lot of it came out later in the news. But I'm going to tell you who currently, it may change, but who currently they are looking to put on the U.S. Supreme Court. It couldn't be a better person. So I am very, 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 very excited to be able to bring you this information. You might want to call your neighbors, your friends, your family. Come tune in to Infowars.com.
Stop people in traffic.
This is
show,
so
Twitter,
sad.
Facebook, YouTube,
stop people in traffic.
Local TV stations, radio stations where you're listening. That's how we reach more people.
Yes, it is.
This is sad.
Certainly can't do it organically.
That was my first reaction to this. This is sad. He's teasing it out.
He does this all the time.
I know, but well, I see, but I don't experience this level of doing it all the time.
I don't bring it up every time he
does
that.
Exactly.
Although I will say that he rarely does the like fucking call people. He only pulls that out occasionally.
See, that's pathetic.
That level does only come out. Like, and I know we experienced it during his fake FEMA camp shit in 2009.
Yeah.
He's done it a couple times since then. But yeah, generally speaking, it's just the tease is there and it keeps going forever.
Uh-huh.
But the like stop people in traffic and tell them to tune in, that sort of thing is like, that's pretty special.
So
do you have any idea who the pick is?
God, I don't know. Neil Gorsuch's kid? Like, I don't know who he's fucking talking about.
Maybe it's Steve Pachenik.
No.
Yeah, he's not a judge.
I don't know. I don't know judges, Dan.
Can you think of any judges?
No. I can't think of any judges except for Joe Brown.
Mills Lane.
I don't know who Mills Lane is.
Who's the judge from Celebrity Deathmatch?
God, your level of weird pulls will never cease to excite me.
Yeah, look, I existed at a certain time in life. Weird way to phrase that.
That's a weird way to
Alex goes to break, and then he comes back, and he's clearly talked to Roger Stone, and Roger is like, dude, shut the fuck up. And it's really fun because we get a very clear picture of where Alex is getting his permissions to say things from.
Okay, I've been on the phone with folks too much basically asking me not to say who Trump has picked as the Supreme Court replacement for Justice Kennedy. And I was told by multiple sources at the time about this, and I was not told this in confidence. And we've even talked about this on air before. But I've already told you that I'm going to say who is, let's just say this then, in the front running. Even though this individual's been told, you're next. You're the next one. So I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. But this is big breaking exclusive news.
Okay. So he is a little bit like he's being told to shut up, like stop. You're going to blow up a spot here.
Right.
Because obviously what he's about to say is, man, I hope it's not true. And I don't think it's true.
He's about to reveal it, though. He's about to actually say
it. I will
say
the tease does come full circle. It does. He does reveal what the name is. And, man, I really don't think there's any chance.
Are you willing
Although
to accept?
I will say that the name that he says is someone who I have joked is going to be Trump's next pick.
Okay. All right.
I have... Whether it's socially on this show or on Twitter, I have made the joke that this is going to be our next Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
And
would you allow for the possibility that this is part of the tease? That this is the work?
No.
You wouldn't allow for that?
No, because of this.
So this will be exclusive. This information is directly from El Presidente. then I made some phone calls, and they're like, well, yeah, that's the case, but that could change, definitely in the hunt, in the front of the running. But then why can't InfoWars have the big exclusive, you see? The establishment cannot stand that. But I know there's a lot of smart people, too, that just say, who knows how that fits into the calculus or whatever.
So the reason I don't think it's part of the tease is because he's spinning out on air. Like, why can't I just fucking have a story?
Yeah.
He's getting really petty and petulant on
that,
air about
that
this.
Does give
but the
this...
idea that he's really mad about the idea of someone is saying, don't put it that way. Don't talk like that. Because Roger Stone probably knows he's been talking shit. Like, he's doing his, like, back of cigar shop talk.
And he's
just told Alex this stuff, and he's like, look, when this doesn't come to pass, you don't want to look stupid or something like that. I imagine that.
I don't buy that.
That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Yeah, but Roger Stone loves watching Alex look stupid.
Yeah,
Roger Stone loves watching Alex look stupid. And then he'll dig at him in that way of like, I'm giving you a compliment, and yet at the same time it's a dig, and
no.
Alex never sees it. And I feel like that's the biggest joy that Roger Stone has in his professional career right now.
No, this is you projecting onto Roger too much.
What?
That's what you want Roger to be doing. I think a lot of times he's not. Now, Steve, possibly.
Okay.
Steve Pachenik, possibly,
okay,
is trying to fuck with Alex. And I think Roger is fucking with him, too, but for his own benefit. And I don't think that Alex saying that Roger has told him that this is going to be the next Supreme Court justice, and then it turns out is not, I don't think that works to Roger's benefit.
Okay.
So I think that might be the game that's being played out behind the scenes. So now Alex is bent out of shape about the idea that he's being told, don't say that. But that's been his tease. He's been doing this the entire show so far.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm in this weird spot. So then he gets, he shifts over, and he plays like a video of Rod Rosenstein being, interviewed, by, like Jim Jordan and Trey Gowdy. They're giving him the business.
Ugh.
And yelling at him about how, he's not, providing documents and trying to cover stuff up. And Rod Rosenstein the whole time is like, when something is redacted in a document, that doesn't mean I did it. He's just trying to explain that, like, this is a large organization that we have here. It doesn't mean that I crossed out everything. I have 15,000 agents or whatever. There's a whole organizational structure. I'm not withholding information from you. And then Jim Jordan will just yell at him. Just like, all right.
So you're telling me that these redacted documents are not just a black pen that he himself crosses out the stuff he doesn't want to see.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a grade school teacher being like, you're going to need to get rid of this sentence. We got to move some wording around. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not that.
It's a whole top down kind of situation.
And so Rosenstein is trying to explain in this hearing, that Alex plays select clips of, he's trying to explain that, like, you know, it's not a thing where I rule over this department. It's a thing where I'm the head of it, but there's a lot of organizational structure to it, and I don't oversee literally every single thing.
I'm trying not to micromanage. That's a bad way of management. I read a whole book. It was a Japanese book of management techniques. It's really worked out well so far. DOJ is clearly running smoothly.
And the Jim Jordan's argument seems to be you run everything, which is not. It doesn't get anywhere because Rosenstein just keeps trying to be like, I don't. And then Trey Gowdy's part in it is even weird because Alex is saying that, like, Trey Gowdy is saying that this investigation is hurting America. But he accidentally plays too much of the clip. And Trey Gowdy starts with, like, Russia attacked America, but they're not being hurt by this. Our process is being hurt by this.
Ugh.
We need to wrap this up. He's wrong about the idea that we need to.
All, anything Trey Gowdy says is the worst.
But he presents it, even Trey Gowdy presents it as like, this is a real thing where Russia did fuck with us.
Yeah.
Even that runs counter to what Alex is trying to present. Anyway, it's a hot mess and there's no real point to listen to any of it. If you want to go listen to the hearings, you're welcome to.
Don't.
You know exactly what Alex's point on it is. It's like, he's lying under oath, we caught him. And he's not. So it leads to this.
It's ridiculous. That's why suddenly AP, Reuters, The Hill, New York Times, Russia Gate's over. You're going to get disappointed. It's over. It's done. What are we going to do? But don't think Mueller and those corrupt loons are going to throw the towel in. They're just going to make up more crap. But this is quite a spectacle. Democrats saying attack the family, kidnap Trump's son, murder everyone, kill me, kill more members of Congress, firebomb talk show host, firebomb Steven Crowder. I can't even keep track of the crazy stuff they're doing now.
Certainly you can't.
And physically, like trying to lynch mob me on the street while walk around a leftist area. They're lunatics until you stand up, then they start crapping themselves. Like, go ahead, big tough guys. This is just in the simulation. What do you think? I'm playing games? You think the president's playing games? We're taking the country back.
Taking it back.
Taking it back with the 14-year words that we must secure.
Taking it back.
Yeah.
That's really the vibe of what's, you know, the people who are taking things back. They're taking it back to a point where a lot of people didn't have rights.
Yeah.
The thing too is that, like, a lot of those things that he's citing as like these horrible things that liberals are doing, they're talking about like people who did, you know, maybe a little out there tweets about like, hey, people's families are being taken apart, why don't we take Trump's kid, you know, like that sort of thing. Like, why don't we put Trump's kid in the camp?
I'm fine with that.
I understand that you're fine. I don't really care. I'm not here to say like, hey, you shouldn't tweet that. I think that when you open up the possibility of Alex saying that, but Alex would say something no matter what.
Exactly.
So it doesn't, I'm not saying don't say stuff like that, because the intent is to highlight how horrifying it is that people's kids are being separated from them. And I don't think, of course Alex doesn't want to wrestle with that. And at the end of the day, that's the whole thing about the restraining your language and stuff like that, which I've been very much on the side of, and now I'm iffy about.
Well, that's it, but that's one thing that you can draw from Alexandria is who gives a fuck? They're going to, if you're the most middle of the road, if you're the neoliberal Obama all over again, they're going to say that you're a democratic socialist. They're going to say that you're
not
a
even
communist.
A democratic socialist.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're going to say you're a fucking tyrant. So fucking lean into it. Lean into it. If I was running for president right now, my very first words would be, let's take their guns away. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not? They're going to say I'm going to try to do it anyway, so let's just do it.
Why not?
Have we considered that?
I would do a DX style thing, like a Degeneration X style promo all the time whenever if I were running for office. It would always end and begin with, if you're not down with me, I got two words for you.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Okay. Do the there chop. You go. All right. You would do the whole chop.
Oh yeah. And then we'd kick in with their theme song.
The chop is unelectable.
We'd kick in with a theme song, the Run DMC version of the DX theme song.
Right.
Oh boy.
You realize that the chop is why Bernie didn't win the primary.
Yeah, I know.
He did the chop one time and then he'd never had a chance against
political
Hillary.
Political suicide.
It's political suicide.
Like Howard
it's,
Dean.
It's,
yelling.
Oh, God damn it. I was about to get to Howard Dean. You son of a bitch. I would just DMX it and say, X gonna give it to you.
Jordan gonna give it to you.
And say it. What's that? Socialized healthcare? Jordan gonna give it to you.
To quote the American worker, I'm slipping, I'm falling,
right.
I can't get up.
Right.
I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Get me back on my feet so I can test shit. That's a DMX. Fuck you.
He knew it was a DMX lyric. I was just letting you roll.
All right.
I knew you were going to give it to me.
So in this next clip, Alex makes, he gets back to the Supreme Court thing. And I think in the process makes it too clear that it's Roger who's feeding him all of his information.
I know who the president told, you are my next nominee after the first one. But then the issue is I was never told, don't talk about that. But then it becomes, well, don't steal the president's fire. The president doesn't care. The president and his folks have told me, attack. Press the attack. I can't be sitting here politicking, trying to always calculate every angle. We'll see. We'll see what I get into.
He's just mad on air about this because Roger he's cucked him.
But none of these people can actually still be talking to Trump, right?
I think Roger might be.
How? There's no way that Roger is still talking to Trump. At the best.
Stuttering John talked to him the other
day. I know. I was just thinking that. As I was saying, there's no way these people are talking to the president. I'm like, oh, but a guy just called him pretending to be a senator and that was fine.
I'm almost certain you could talk to him.
I want to.
Well, we might find out a way here in a little bit.
Ooh.
Who cares about all that, what he just said?
But, oh yeah, no, he said nothing.
Yeah, but it just makes it more indicative that he's having a fight with Roger behind the scenes.
A lover's quarrel.
Indeed.
Spat.
So in 2009, or I think it was our most recent 2009 episode, we covered that February 11th episode where it became crystal.
Never forget.
It became crystal clear to me especially, and I think I was late to the party. I think everyone else had jumped on this conclusion already, that Alex's principles were largely based in fear of things that eventually could be done to white people.
Right.
The idea of, you know, minorities being put in camps didn't bother him. He just was bothered about the idea that eventually they're going to do it to us good people.
Right.
As he would present it. Us American Western people.
Once the slippery slope became a plateau, he was like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
And so now that was in 2009. And now, sort of having those scales fallen from my eyes, I hear clips like this from the present day quite differently.
You know, the left attacks me and they go, oh, you're now for the military and for the police. Well, you always hated them and you were the big police state guy. No, I was against the left and the globalists and the Ford Foundation and the Southern Poverty Law Center with the training manuals, with the video that police and military sent us because they cared. Being trained that America was bad, that the Bill of Rights is bad, that George Washington is bad, that free market is bad, and that gun owners are going to have to be put in FEMA camps.
I kind of want that.
All of those things that he's talking about are all misrepresentations. All of this idea of, like, these people are being trained by the Southern Poverty Law Center, that George Washington is bad and stuff like that. That is all misrepresentations of people realizing that white terrorism is a real thing, and it is very active in our country. And so law enforcement is trained to deal with that or to look at it as a priority. And this, to Alex, is seen as a major threat.
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't be.
Well, that's his audience. White terrorists are Alex's audience.
No shit. and largely his guest list.
He's just mad because he's not on broadcast stations in prisons. If he was on broadcast stations in prisons, he would be fine with white terrorists being caught because then he'd still have listeners.
No, because they can't get, like, super blue through the commissary.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You have to work out contracts.
Ooh, if he could put together a contract with for-profit prisons, he would be fucking set.
He'd flip everything.
Why are we giving him such good advice?
If he worked out a contract with the prison industry, like, for his products.
Oh, yeah.
He would be like, everybody needs to go to prison.
Yeah, of course.
The oppressive state is great.
The number one way that you can help my organization is to rob someone else.
We will end up in a police state. Hallelujah. That would be his position if people in prison were his act, like a market that he could suck off of.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's crazy to think about, but
it's
true.
It's 100% true.
Yeah. So, I'm not entirely sure what to say about this next clip, other than I know that it's not accurate. I've mislabeled this. It's very vaguely labeled in my iTunes.
Did you just label it not accurate?
It's labeled, Trump is actually the nice one. And I don't exactly remember. I thought that would trigger in my brain, like, what he was talking about, but it's too vague. I don't really remember. So let's enjoy it fresh.
They're the ones saying kill Trump's family. Trump's turning the economy on, being nice, bringing folks together. But what he is tough. He doesn't roll over when you attack him, you bullies. Then you act like, oh, he's so uncivil. They're so mean. No, we've been putting up with your bullying and your lies forever, and we are done. And we're proving that you had us under suppression.
Suppression.
We just took America back up to the surface. Our listeners, Trump, all of us, the Patriot Movement, worldwide, we're the leaders. We proved we were right. We're already turning it around instantly. We're like giving oxygen to somebody that's been trapped underwater or water to somebody that's been in the Sahara Desert for 3 days. And people know, they're like, oh, this is great air. I can breathe. Oh, water. Thank you. Wow. And it's like, whoa, yeah. And then the globalists go, we're going to wreck America and burn it and have a depression on TV. People go, wow, Alex Jones always said you wanted to make us poor. Yeah, yeah. They're scum.
I just kept that last part in there for the sniffle.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I just would say that that's not real in any way. I don't think anyone's going on TV. I haven't seen anyone going on TV and saying, like, we want to cause depressions and shit.
What I hear out of that is...
Love me?
Well, there's
I'm
that.
I'm smart?
There's that. There's right. Definitely that.
Certainly.
I hear what makes me kind of convinced that it's like gonna come down to a civil war.
You've been talking like this a little bit lately, and it makes me a little uncomfortable. But...
No, I mean, and this isn't like I want to cause a civil war, but what I hear there
you're talking about something you're afraid of as opposed to something that Alex wants to precipitate.
See, no, I don't even think I'm afraid of it. I think I'm
anxious about.
I think it's more like I've started to feel like it's inevitable because here's what I hear him saying. It this is what convinces me that a civil war, or even just like, not necessarily a war, like just break up the fucking country, is right. That we can't even communicate. Like there's no-
But honestly, that's what Alex wants to some extent. He wants nullification.
But that's what the whole right wing has always wanted.
Absolutely.
And it's the left that is just finally realizing that there's no reaching across the aisle.
Right. And
this is over.
Alex even uses this to sort of like impugn Barack Obama back in the day. He would always talk about how like everyone's comparing him to Lincoln. And then he'd go to Lincoln speeches that are like, if I could save the Union, and what would be required is accepting that these people have slaves or whatever, then maybe we'd probably do that. I'm concerned with preserving the Union.
Right.
And then as it went along, he got more anti-slavery.
It's just geography.
Yep.
If we could, if
it's too big
fucking,
a country.
If Chicago and New York and L.A., just those three cities were like, nah, fuck this. And we all live near each other, we would create a city state. Like, it would just be, we're done.
If you could flip flop, like, I don't know. I don't want to say this because it's going to be, like, insulting to people in Wyoming. But, like,
nah, fuck.
Put New York in Wyoming,
Are we playing Jenga? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Put, Chicago in Arizona. Now we got the West. You know, take the Western seaboard.
Like,
and just,
geologically, the issue is just like, we don't have it's split correctly.
But you know,
it's urban versus rural,
Jordan,
and they're done.
Jordan, the problem becomes that once that imaginary, dichotomy that we're making, where like Chicago and New York move to the West Coast, let's say.
Yeah.
And they just get a big chunk of the West Coast.
Can we do that? Can we put everybody on giant
we
mobile homes?
We can't, but let's imagine we could.
Okay.
So you do that, and now you have all of the culture, not all of the culture, but all of the relevant pieces of culture. There's still amazing stuff all over the place in America. It's not to say that people in like Arkansas suck or anything like that.
And how dare me for not including Houston and Atlanta? Sure. Those are both
giant metropolitan areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And throw Austin over too, because they're great.
Oh yeah, I love Austin.
Alex has got to stay.
Alex has got to stay.
the rest of Austin.
If the entire Austin area just like left Alex,
the
that would
McAdoo
be fantastic.
Can come.
Yeah.
Even Buckley. He's a DJ.
I don't want Buckley.
So, but like all of that comes, like let's say, and like geographically, it's 1/6 of the country, or what used to be the country. Like 1/6 is this liberal sliver, that's free, and you know, minorities have rights and women have control over their own bodies, and gays are cool and trans people are celebrated as being people, all that. And then you have the other part,
white ethnostate.
What you would end up having, I'm certain, is within about 15-20 years, I would imagine, Manifest Destiny would pop back up,
right?
And the right,
and then we'd run into the same problem, which is that liberals are pussies and they get run over.
It would just become cyclical all over again.
Yep.
The desire to compromise would
always going to lose with that shit.
Yep.
That's why they won.
We went way too far into that as a hypothetical.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I do agree with
you. Where would you move New York, though?
Where would I move New York?
Yeah. Boy,
I mean, I feel like, you know, I hate to say Wyoming because there's gorgeous natural vistas.
New York needs water, though.
There's water in Wyoming. Oh, you mean it needs
I mean,
to be,
it needs,
oh, needs to be a port? Yeah.
I understand that there's water in Wyoming.
Fine.
What did you think I meant?
I literally
that
thought
New York would die of thirst.
Well, I thought that you meant that there weren't any lakes or rivers.
No, that's not what I meant.
I mean, I would say somewhere on the Great Lakes, but that's not very far west.
Right.
It'd be great. Just try, like, push it over to like Michigan.
I just want New York and Michigan.
Bring, oh God, who cares? Look, we can't fantasy book what the world should look like.
This is what I, this is our new game. We're gonna start a game called Fantasy Union.
You pick
your cities and you see who's gonna survive the season.
We're becoming like little kids who are creating dream tag teams of wrestlers.
It is exactly what we're doing.
Oh, let's move the greatest metropolitan area over into Michigan. Yeah. We can have this Midwest alliance.
Ooh, that'd be great. We would totally win.
And then we absorb into Canada. Because we're close enough. Yeah.
Now that's your liberal manifest destiny right there. We just take over Canada.
Or just like plead them to let us join.
Yeah.
I don't know. All this stuff is real fucking hard to figure out. I don't really know what I don't know what direction is up. But I do know.
I just think at a certain point when the left realized there's no communication, there's no way for us to say anything. Because anything you say is going to be turned into you're trying to destroy the world.
The family, you're trying to destroy America, you're trying to destroy the market,
got there first.
They own
that
space.
Yeah, we can't say that that's what they're doing, even though that's what they're doing.
The only way to do it is to create a more appealing meme that would paint the picture that they are the ones who are destroying that stuff. And that would be really tough without the edge lords and weirdo meme makers
exactly.
That are already beholden to the alt-right
right.
world, so because they're fucking racists and hate women.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess there's really no way for liberalism to really march forward.
Guns. Manifest destiny.
So, Jordan,
it
is now time to reveal.
What?
The Supreme Court.
Oh, shit, yes.
Who is going...
I forgot that's what this episode is about.
Who is going to be number 9 on the roster? Do you want to give any last predictions? It's not Michael Jordan.
It's not Charles Barkley.
It's not Larry Bird.
Judge Reinhold?
It is not... See, I was hoping you would resist that joke. Because it's way too easy.
I couldn't help myself. I'm running out.
There are very
I don't
few
know
people
any judges.
His name is Judge.
Judge Napolitano? No!
I remember back when the president got in and then there was a Supreme Court vacancy.
No!
I remember that it was in the news some that Andrew Napolitano was in the running.
Damn it!
But then later I learned from inside sources, not just Roger Stone,
sure,
that Trump used a big computer program and worked with some big study groups to look at who had the most conservative federal voting record because he'd promised to go with the most conservative judge, and some of his experts argued, well, that's not Napolitano because he was a state judge. Yes, he's very conservative on air. Yes, he's a very smart guy, but we're talking about federal judges up front right now. Wouldn't it be best to go with a federal judge first? And that he said, okay, I'll do that. So I can technically say I've appointed the most conservative person on the bench currently.
According to Steve Pachenik, neocon.
Who has a bigger, longer record. But my good friend, Andrew Napolitano,
bigger, longer.
He is going to be at the front of the running on the next round.
So, Andrew Napolitano, my dude.
I really shouldn't have been able to be right.
Mm-hmm.
That should be against the law to have been right in that situation.
You had enough context clues. I've joked about it and stuff like that.
I know, but that seems silly.
It's crazy.
That seems silly.
Fox News frequent contributor Andrew Napolitano.
If Trump even says that out loud, we should have riots in the street.
Yeah.
There should just be riots in the fucking street.
But
also, you wouldn't need to say, I didn't just get this from Roger Stone, if you hadn't just got it from Roger Stone.
Right.
You don't need to say it if it's not something that you're preemptively defensive about because it's already true.
I'd like to tell you a positive about Andrew Napolitano.
Okay.
He owns a maple syrup farm.
Oh, that is nice.
That's it.
Is it good?
I haven't tried it.
We're gonna have to order something.
Yeah, that's all the positives I have. The other negatives that I have on him is he is a revisionist Civil War guy.
Great.
He's a guy who
states' rights,
that sort of thing, tariffs,
states' rights,
all that stuff. Lincoln could have freed slaves by paying their slaveholders, all that stuff.
That makes perfect sense.
All that sort of nonsense.
Everybody would have been fine with that.
He's also a 9/11 conspiracy truther.
Now that I'm actually fine with. Because I believe that the Supreme Court caused 9/11.
Oh, man. Also, not good when, like, he's friends with Trump.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's not good for the president to be good friends with someone he's like, I'm going to put on the Supreme Court.
I mean, but at the same time, it's technically legal for him to appoint himself as the Supreme Court Justice.
Totally. I mean, still needs a law degree, I think.
It doesn't.
I think that's a...
Does anybody know what's going on? Does anybody fucking know what's going on?
I don't think this is going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Although I've said that a lot.
That's a good point.
I've said that a lot in the last year and a half, 2 years, and I've been wrong almost every time.
Look at Scott Pruitt. Why couldn't Napolitano be a Supreme Court? Why couldn't Trump just fucking nominate Scott Pruitt? It doesn't mean anything at this point. Nothing matters.
It's all just going to lube up the slide.
Yeah,
downward.
It doesn't even fucking. It does whatever name he says is going to be the worst possible fucking name. You've got a million awful people to choose from, and it's not even like Kennedy was some kind of swing vote. He was like the 10th most conservative Supreme Court justice in history. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
He was a hinge on a number of issues, though.
on a few fucking cases, but for the
some
rest of the time, he was a pile
important.
Of shit. They were. Fairly important, but that's just because he was the fall guy for it. Everybody kind of got together in the Supreme Court and were like, for real though, like we all say we believe this shit, but none of us actually believe this shit. Stop it.
Yeah.
Kennedy, you're the fall guy.
I mean, I hope we don't live in such a world where this could be treated seriously. But,
it will be.
But who fucking knows?
It will be.
So anyway, Alex has revealed his big piece of news, and now Roger Stone, you might want to keep your pen handy for this, because there might be something you need to write down.
All right. What's Roger got to say?
Roger wants to let people know how we can make this a reality.
Okay.
Judge Andrew Napolitano is currently at the top of the list. How do we make sure he stays at the top and gets in there despite the leftist globalist bullying? You know, anybody that's really good, that's who they're going to fight. Just like they fought Trump getting into office.
Well, if you're a believer, as I am, that Andrew Napolitano would be a great Supreme Court justice, you should reach out for the president. You can call the White House switchboard where they're set up to take messages from the American people. 202-456-1414, 202-456-1414. Flooding the White House switchboard with supportive calls would be very helpful. Keep it short. Keep it respectful.
Okay. Well, Jordan has pulled out his phone, as I imagined you might have done. Much like when Larry Nichols gave out his phone number, I think it's time to call the White House switchboard.
For quality and training purposes, this call may be monitored but will not be recorded.
Oh, that's nice.
That seems crazy. What is this, a telemarketing thing?
Oh. And they hung up on me. They hung up on me.
Great switchboard.
You can't just do that.
Give it another ring.
You can't just hang up on me.
For training purposes, this call may be monitored, but will not be recorded.
That's not usually how things go with telemarketing places. Usually do both. Bad training. No ring here. I think they're going to hang up on
you. The
White House? Hey.
Hi. Can I leave a message for the White House?
You should ask for the president.
Thank you for calling the White House comment line. The office is closed. Your comment is...
The office is closed!
Donald J. Trump. Please call back between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Our direct telephone number is 202...
Let me leave a fucking message!
1111. To leave a comment for President Trump,
oh, bullshit.
Oh, come on.
Call back and ask for Trump. Say you're Ron Paul.
Okay.
Say you're Rand Paul.
For quality and training purposes, this call may be monitored but will not be recorded.
We're turning into the Jerky Boys.
I'm going to do a voice. Why not? God damn it!
Hung up on you.
This is the worst government we've ever had.
Very, very
I bet
bad.
I could have called and talked to Obama straight away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a man of the people.
Yeah.
I do think you should try and call back and pretend to be Rand Paul.
I don't know how to do his voice. I was gonna do Larry Nichols.
Do Larry Nichols.
I was gonna do Larry Nichols.
Larry Nichols.
not that I actually do a Larry Nichols.
I need to warn Trump about the caliphate.
For quality and training purposes.
Ah, come on, guys.
But will not be
come
recorded.
On. Come on.
My fear about this is there's going to be no payoff.
The White House.
Hi, can I talk to Trey Gowdy?
I'm sorry, who?
Trey Gowdy.
Representative.
Representative Trey Gowdy. I apologize. Is he in there today?
You need to contact the Capitol building. He doesn't work at the White House.
He doesn't work at the White House. Ah, I feel like he does.
Senators and congressmen do not work at White Houses.
Yeah, but he kind of does, right? Like, he's a punk bitch.
This is not good.
This is a bad prank call.
All right. That was a prank. Jordan. I didn't want to prank call the White House. That's mean.
You just showed your lack of chops in terms of prank calls.
I'm not a prank caller. I've never prank called before.
Shit.
Legitimately never prank called before. Also, she's put upon. She doesn't need this shit.
That's not on her. That's not her fault.
She's just a switchboard operator.
You should have asked for Pence.
Why would I ask for Pence?
Because he works in the White House.
Even if I was prank calling, I wouldn't want to talk to that motherfucker.
Maybe you get him talking dirty, get some of his fantasies out.
I've had sex with 45 dudes. I am very gay. I'm Mike Pence.
I mean, look.
This is a PSA.
All we've done here is really, the same thing that Stuttering John did, but with no payoff.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why we called it.
Yeah, I don't
edit
know
this out.
You kind of hope that you'd get to talk to somebody, but
who would you even talk to?
Well, I know that Alex used to say that Trump would be up manning the switchboard himself. Remember that?
That's right. That's right. I forgot he was manning the switchboard himself.
He's sitting around taking direct calls from people.
Well, he's awful close to that.
Yeah. So at this point, Alex brazenly tells a massive lie and tries to do like a really like pump up speech. Does this really cool speech coming in from break, and see if you can find the biggest lie in this.
The biggest lie?
Biggest.
Live.
Do you mean large?
Austin, Texas, broadcasting on over 260 radio stations, over 400 TV stations.
We got number
over
one.
70 cable stations, and simulcast on the internet in every format we can find.
That's true.
That would
from
is.
Message in a bottle to global satellite transmission, this is the InfoWar. I am Alex Jones. Commissioned by duty and justice, and
that
recommissioned
also
by the president to take action against the globalists and to cover the topics others won't, to tell the savage truths, to break the ice, to blast through the enemy's defenses,
getting
to make
close
it safe
to the 200
for others to come out with
level.
The hard truths. We're here, tip of the spear. The tip of the spear. Many claim to be it. This is the tip of the spear, recognized enemy of the globalist.
It's a three-way tie.
Happy time, happy-making time, like George Soros talked about on 60 Minutes, rounding up Jews. It was happy-making time, exhilarating, best time of my life.
You know what? I didn't realize there'd be so many contenders for biggest lie.
That's 4 for 4 on the biggest lie there's ever been.
200-and-something radio stations.
Right.
Nope.
Commissioned by justice? Absolutely not.
It's vague enough, you know.
It's vague enough?
It means nothing. So that might not be
a
lie.
That's true. That could cancel out.
Yeah,
that could cancel out. All right.
Dealer got blackjack on that one.
Soros for sure.
Yeah.
That's up there.
It's a happy making time.
I don't think anybody's ever said that ever,
Soros,
let alone.
Soros did.
Did he?
Yeah.
He in did. German?
He's Hungarian, but, he's talking about, his time, in the time of the Holocaust. And he's discussing how, like, he was a 14-year-old and he felt free because of the heroics of his father, saving a bunch of people from going to camps, and how that was he felt invigorated, like nothing could touch him, even though the world was crumbling all around
him.
Oh,
that's right.
So the happy making time, quote is, Alex has rewatched those videos and found a couple new things
to
say.
Yeah.
So he's been saying that one a whole bunch.
I hadn't heard that one before.
No,
I didn't know about that one.
He's revisited and found some new ammo, but again, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, because he's also, you know, he's still pushing that same narrative.
Yeah.
Man, the 200 radio stations though, that's a number.
That's
a hard number that we can say is a lie.
Boy, that's not true.
That's not true.
Man, it's closer to 20.
Is he even allowed to say that?
Sure, you can lie about whatever you want.
Oh, that's
true. We're on 6,000 radio stations.
Are we?
Totally.
Which ones?
All of them. AM, FM, all of them.
All of them.
Knowledge Fight. You can find it everywhere on the dial.
You can find it everywhere.
We're 24/7 on every radio station.
Why do we even do those plugs at the end? Because you can't not find Knowledge Fight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're stupid.
We are crazy everywhere.
So.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan, we get to a guest, and this guest is wild. There's been a lot of bullshit on this episode so far, whether it's misrepresenting mythology, whether it's really teasing out the entire episode that Andrew Napolitano is going to be a Supreme Court justice, which I know we're laughing about now, but unfortunately, I do foresee a world where...
I really don't think that's far.
It's not beyond the pale, unfortunately. But now we get a guest, and this guy is real weird.
Yeah.
Real strange guest for Alex to have on. Here we go.
Not surprised.
That happened about a month and a half ago. One of the top stories in the country. He's been all over the news. Hotep Jesus joins us. And I didn't know until I heard he went on with Owen Schroyer that he was even a listener for a while. But he's got a long, interesting bio. Booksbybrian.com, HotepNation.com, Twitter, Vibe, hi. But it's great to have him on with us. I just want to get him on as a commentator routinely to give his take on the world, the things he's doing, because I've seen that clip wanted on my show. And then I saw him with Owen. I was like, well, I'm jealous. Owen got him a couple times. I haven't. I watched the interview and really like what he had to say. So we'll cover the waterfront, but I think his awakening is important. That's one of the things he wanted to talk about because it's part of other people's awakening. And then where is this point in the world we are right now where things have gotten so crazy, and where does he think things are going next? So, Hotep, thanks for joining us.
Alex Jones, the man. What's up, baby?
That is the best start.
It's not bad.
To an Alex Jones call I think we've ever had on this show.
Do you know who Hotep Jesus is?
I don't know who Hotep Jesus is.
He's a comedian and a writer who... He's the guy who went into Starbucks and got his reparation coffee.
Oh, that's
that Alex
pretty funny.
Covered.
That's pretty funny.
Right. With that video that was supposed to be so damning, and all that happened was someone was really nice to him at the Starbucks. Was like, yeah, I felt like that was kind of bullshit. All right, here's a free coffee. And there was no real point made by it. I don't think that the person at the Starbucks was expressing immense white guilt.
No, if I remember correctly, my opinion was, just go away, dude. Whatever.
Well, no, I think she was much more nice.
I understand that, but there's a certain level of like, yeah, all right, cool.
And again,
let's just not make this a thing.
And again, as someone who has managed a Starbucks, I will tell you that they have a policy of just give people some coffee.
Just don't.
Even homeless people that come in and they want a cup of coffee, you're supposed to give it to them. Because that's good PR, more or less, or good for the community and what have you.
And so, let's face it, coffee costs $0.
So he went viral making that video, and so now Alex has got to have him on because he desperately needs.
He's so obsessed with being viral.
And again, he's thrilled to have someone who is not white, who is into his worldview.
Right. Is he still living with his parents? Did he get
kicked
out?
No, although Alex doesn't want to have that guy on anymore. Mike
Rotondo. No. Why not?
Well, it turns out that Mike, there's a Vice put out a video that was catching back up with Mike Rotondo.
VH1's Where Are They Now?
More or less. And it turns out that he is now living with a lady who allows him to live there in exchange for doing, like, yard work. An older
quote,
woman.
Quote-unquote yard work.
It seems like that's the case. I don't know. I don't want to disparage anybody. It seems like she's a very nice lady.
And yeah, one of the reasons she should get hers.
One of the reasons I think Alex will never have him back on is because in this Vice video, the lady is being interviewed in front of her house, and she has a Blessed Ramadan sign in front of her house. So now Mike Rotondo has been taken in by a very generous Muslim woman. So, and at press time.
Oh, ironic end!
And it's at press time, it's very mysterious what happened to that $3,000 that Alex gave him. And when he was on InfoWars, he was going to
check bounce.
He was going to move in with that guy who was super into InfoWars, and clearly he hasn't moved in with that guy.
Yeah, well, of course.
So, I don't know. Who knows?
That would be gross.
This is where my interest in the Mike Rotondo saga has far exceeded its expiration date.
Man, if he converts to Islam, that would be the best.
He comes back on, he's like, Salam Alaikum, Alex. Brother Alex.
Salam Alaikum.
That would be so great.
That would be so good.
So now here's what Hotep Jesus wants to get into, and then we'll get into him.
But we got to do one thing for the internet today. The internets need to see me and you side by side, screaming and raging at the globalists, man. Can you do that for me, man?
Sure. I lose my voice. That's why my voice used to be scratchy, but I scream so much, my larynx is gone. It's like,
This is great radio.
This is great radio. I love this.
Yeah!
Did they just simultaneously? Yeah?
Felt good, didn't it? Jake, I know you're going to do that.
You owe me a call.
Oh, yeah, it feels good now. I'm ready. But it feels good to see you. I'm done with whatever you... I'm not buying anything you say. I'm free, and I'm not buying your crap anymore. Ah!
Yeah. That's how I feel when I come off my periscopes. I got that Alex Jones ring.
Ah!
Yeah.
I got old, though. I try not to do that anymore, but I tell you.
We need that. The movement lacks passion, and you bring passion, and I love it.
Yeah, that's what the conservative
movement
lacks.
Well, usually
what
I do, I'm already passionate having you on, but I'm usually, something's already pissed me off, and it's all coming to go, but I realize, you know, they're not going to suppress us, and then I decide to fight, and then it just happens. But yeah, they made some good memes with, what's that called? Super Saiyan? It's some kind of Japanese TV thing where the guy goes,
Super Saiyan. Super Saiyan.
That's enough about me. Come on, man. My voice now halfway gone.
Dragon Ball Z. Goku went Super Saiyan in his first fight against Frieza. Mm-hmm. It was very important. Then as the series went on, there were different levels of Super Saiyan. In Dragon Ball Super, which is the new version of that, there was a Super Saiyan God level. It's a really convoluted situation. It's fantastic.
And then...
just gloss over that.
And then Sonic stole it. Right?
Minus one.
Went super,
minus one.
Super Sonic and
we're
Super
even,
Shadow.
We're even.
Also, I'm stalling a tiny bit because it's really funny that all this comes up because on Hotep Jesus' website, he has an article that has come out. Let me see the date on this. I'm not entirely sure. May 18th of this year, titled
Dragon Ball Z is liberal bullshit.
No, Dragon Ball series teaches valuable life lessons. Should I read this to you?
I want to hear this so much.
Watching Dragon Ball series, life lesson nostalgia. Every episode hints at a hidden esoteric gems. Allow me to provide a high-level overview of what's reinforced. Gohan.
Yes, that's Goku's son.
Gohan has the luxury of being homeschooled until he's of high school age. What's the condition of the public school systems today? Wouldn't it be ideal if families could homeschool? Thanks to his mother, Chi-Chi, Gohan focuses on his books, unlike his father, Goku. After proving his power in a victory over Cell, he finds it important to be educated.
He actually didn't win against Cell. He went Super Saiyan level 2, but it was, once again, a spirit bomb that defeated Cell.
Now let's talk about Vegeta.
Yes, let's talk about Vegeta.
This guy is my favorite character.
Okay.
It is his sheer will, which sometimes borders on ignorance, that inspires me. This guy trains nonstop. He will stop at nothing to be the best. Before the Android saga, Bulma builds him a gravity machine. Basically, it's a room where gravity gets multiplied. The average human would not be able to stand up in this room, let alone train with a machine set to low. Hold on! Vegeta not only trains in this thing, but he literally destroys the machine while it's set to over 300 times gravity. He was doing handstand push-ups on one arm in a gravity machine. Spoiler alert, it's a cartoon.
Well, now this is important in the context of his own argument, because the only reason that Vegeta did this was because Goku did the same thing on his spaceship flight over to the planet Namek. All right. When he was going to fight, and that is arguably why Goku went Super Saiyan in the first place. So Vegeta was just trying to catch up. Vegeta is just a jealous little bitch. That's what's going on there.
So,
and that is the conservative movement in
Goku.
Yes,
he's the series protagonist and Japan's Mickey Mouse.
He's not there yet. I think Pikachu is still.
I hate him, but I respect him. By the way, every.
Of course he hates Goku. Most relentlessly positive character. Okay.
Every sentence that I'm reading is a new paragraph.
This is every sentence is its own paragraph. Yeah. All right.
He annoys me for two reasons.
Yes.
He drops his guard too easily, and he's a naive idiot. Oh no. Oh no. Splashed a little, that beer was a little loaded there. He drops his guard too easily and he is a naive idiot. But you have to respect his gangsta when it comes to fighting. He wants to fight anyone and everyone to prove his supremacy as a fighter. After Krillin dies for the second time at the hands of Frieza, we see Goku turn Super Saiyan. Goku has a unique drive to consistently reach new heights. He's always pushing the envelope, pushing himself to the next level, not being satisfied with his current successes. You're only as good as your last fight, parenthetically accomplishment. Sometimes we get stuck on celebrating our past achievements and we embellish them to prove our worth today. What is the next achievement? What height are you reaching for? So that's what he has to say about Goku. How do you feel about that? Does that track with your understanding
you
of
know
Dragon
what?
Ball?
That's not a terrible analysis of Goku.
Now let's talk about Piccolo.
Let's talk about Piccolo. Piccolo is a very interesting character.
This guy is like the godfather of the Z Fighters.
That doesn't make sense, but okay.
He's a mastermind behind the team. With
no,
Goku
he's
not around because he's trying to save the universe, training, or waiting to be wished back to life, Gohan doesn't have a masculine energy to mentor him. Piccolo steps into that role.
That's true.
You can see his mentorship paying off when Gohan basically becomes the coach for Universe 7 in the Tournament of Power. Goku is ready to enter the tournament, every man for himself style.
Now that's go. That's a Dragon Ball Super, I believe.
I'm gonna read this entire goddamn thing. But it's Gohan's mind that creates the plan to work as a team, a foreign concept for Goku and Vegeta. What's the lesson here?
Is the lesson here?
The youth have the energy and the elders have the wisdom. Experience is meant to be passed down. When the two are combined, you create an unstoppable force. Too often we set bad examples for the next generation, especially on social media, which is very relevant in Dragon Ball. That's parenthetical.
That is not very relevant. Okay.
The kids are watching and they will emulate us. You don't always need to lead someone with hands-on mentorship because they are watching. We need to, holy shit, this has nothing to do with Piccolo.
Wait, did he say that?
No, that's me. I was like,
that's you?
There's six more paragraphs. Let's talk about Chi-Chi.
All right.
Of all the characters.
Oh, man. Chi-Chi, he's going to knock on her. Or no, he's going to do the opposite. He's going to say that she is like a stereotype. She's like the mother ideal. That's his opinion, right?
Quote, of all the characters, Chi-Chi is probably the most grounded. While others are distracted with training and fighting aliens, Chi-Chi is the one who reminds them of the bills that have to be paid and kids have an education to get. She's what's missing from so many families in America
there
today.
There it is!
With feminism pulling women out of the home and into the workforce.
Traditional values, Dan!
There's no one at home to attend to the kids full-time. With a full-time mother, kids get the care and attention they need.
And that's a legitimate criticism of Chi-Chi's character, not a supporting argument.
It's gender roles that hold the family together as a solid unit. Chi-Chi was no pushover. She's the only person who can intimidate Goku. She had assault rifles and submachine guns. Parenthetically, definitely a Second Amendment advocate. I don't think that was in America. I don't think Dragon Ball Z happened in America.
No, it did not.
Fair. Look, I know nothing about it. I just assume.
I know.
Not about the Constitution.
I just realized I know way more about this than I should.
She was a slouch. She was no slouch and could fight with the best of them. That never got in the way of a role as a woman. She kept Goku checked and grounded. She's the mind of the home, a vital role. Creating a powerful nation.
Nice.
This isn't done.
How is this not done?
What do you think about Frieza?
You can't. Frieza literally wanted to destroy the world for his own power. There's no way.
This is funny. As I mentioned in my book, sometimes enemies...
No. I don't like that he has a book. I can't write a book. He should not be allowed to.
Well, that's as good a point as any to transition off his rambling about Dragon Ball. So he's written a book. His real name, Hotep Jesus, is yeah. Brian Sharp. And he's written a book called, quote, Twitter Marketing, How to Build a Cult-Like Following. That's his book.
It promises
to teach you how to, quote, write viral tweets every time, how to network with influencers for your benefit, how to manipulate Twitter algorithms, although he misspelled algorithms in the ad for the book.
Not important.
This is the same as, like, Dave Seaman, the Pizzagate vlogger turned Bitcoin hack who had previously written a book all about how to create and use buzz. These people, at their core, are all scam artists.
Should we buy that book, though?
No. Maybe we could get some better Twitter traction, but I think we would end up losing a bunch of ourselves in it. So we've talked about him. But I liked that diversion because it's fun to yell about his rambling about Dragon Ball. But what's more important is to look at this guy as a person. So the name he wants to go by is Hotep Jesus, even though his name is Brian Sharp. So I'll refer to him as Hotep Jesus.
He's Hotep Jesus.
In a post on his website, Hotep Jesus defines what Hotep lifestyle means to him, and as best I can tell, it's pretty much just about black nationalists working together with white nationalists. As Hotep Jesus put it, quote, you know it's bad when I'd rather align with a racist white than a crybaby black. This is not really new. David Duke and Louis Farrakhan respect each other's desire for their respective races to live separately from one another. It's not really a new, like, it's not a novel perspective to have, but he's just trying to merge black nationalism with white nationalism.
Right.
Because they would be a much more powerful force together.
I'm gonna go with inconclusive. I will say inconclusive as to whether or not they would be a far more powerful force working together.
I think if there was a way for them necessarily to work together, I think it would be, I think it would distract a lot of people.
I think Fred Hampton was the last person to try and do that, and he got murdered for it.
But I don't think that was necessarily strict black nationalism and white nationalism he was trying to bring together.
Well, I mean, he was trying to do that, but under the aegis of, hey, let's not do that.
Right.
Let's not be black nationalists or white nationalists.
Another post defines Hotep, which is a term for a lifestyle, a grouping. Hotep is not just like a, we'll get to the,
I thought it was a, yeah, okay.
We'll get to that in a second.
All right.
But another post defines Hotep as being all about strengthening the quote, nuclear black family, specifically defined as a man, woman, and child. This post goes on to explain that they're not homophobic, which seems really strange.
Shouldn't need to say that. Just like when he says, hey, I didn't just get this from Roger Stone, like a caveat of, hey, I don't just want to is an argument against your point.
Right, but it also is like all we care about is the black nuclear family, man, woman, child. Also, we don't hate gays, although they aren't having a man, woman, and child. You know, they're outside of the thing we seem to only care about.
Right.
But we're not homophobic.
Why would you be?
I just don't understand how those two things match up, but whatever.
Say whatever you want to say.
Also, the Hotep name denotes a black nationalist new religious movement that's emerged that is basically about, it's an Afrocentric version of this thing called Kemetism, which is the belief that the ancient Egyptian pharaohs were black. So it goes back to,
I mean, they were African.
Sure. Egypt is in Africa. You can, huh.
Black.
But all, like, this is a spiritualist movement. This is like an esoteric movement.
Yeah.
That it involves a lot of, Alex isn't taking into account, like, all of the other things that his name being Hotep Jesus and what he's involved in outside of politics, like the religiosity of the Kemetism and stuff like that is really counter to what Alex is into.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is close to, like, the Lost Children of Babylon.
Right.
In terms of their, like, that rap group. In terms of what, the Nuwabians. Like, those sorts of groups.
First off, give me the 5% nation.
It's very close.
Right. But it's not.
That's Islam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second, I don't think that jives much with Alex really, you came to the realization of, all of his fears were about what if this happened to white people.
Right.
And at the end of the day, all of Hotep's ideas are like, you do you, man, and leave us the fuck alone. So that's,
let's do.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is
the same thing. Like, he's only afraid of black people if there's the idea that there's an encroachment upon his whatever it is.
And if they're fine with his,
yeah, if you're fine with me being a white nationalist and you just don't, like, don't live near me, then you can believe whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Like, Alex just doesn't want to see anything.
No, I mean, he said it over and over again. He doesn't want to be made to feel bad.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to feel bad about the bigotry that lives within
exactly.
his heart.
Yeah. I want to be a bigot, but from like a distance. Like, I'm fine with being a bigot as long as you don't come into my place.
I don't
place.
Want to see those Muslim women at the pool shop.
Exactly.
I just
want
to go to the pool shop.
Exactly.
And hate them when I get home.
I want the 1950s white city.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants.
So now beyond that, Hotep Jesus does not seem like a great guy. He had an interesting take on the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Quote, if there was no anti-protest there, there would have been no clash. DeAndre Harris wouldn't be hurt and Heather Heyer wouldn't have been murdered. Fact. Exclamation point.
I mean, with zero context, I suppose that's a factual statement.
If you let Nazis march, the individuals who were killed or hurt in the anti-protest would not be hurt, but they would all be hurt as more and more Nazi protests
Dan,
and rallies happen.
Dan, What he just said was, if the Jews didn't live in Germany, they wouldn't have been Holocausted.
There's something, there's some similarity there.
Yeah.
So he's also appeared on this show called Red Ice TV, which is a show run by Henrik Palmgren, who's a Swedish white nationalist.
Yeah, I was going to say, if your name's Henrik Palmgren. Palmgren.
He's a Swedish white nationalist and Holocaust denying vlogger. Red Ice, in the last month, has put out videos with titles like, quote, "They want you dead, white man," and, quote, why interracial relationships are pushed on white women, and, weirdly, a tutorial on how to make beef jerky that is still somehow racist. I watched it. It's very weird.
Okay. All right. This is the white way to make beef jerky.
It's very weird.
Don't pull it. Look, if you pull this Jamaican jerk chicken bullshit, that's not even jerky. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's like a combination of spices. What are you even fucking talking about?
I've seen my share of like cooking tutorials and stuff like this.
Yeah.
This one was like, this is racist.
How can you make a racist cooking tutorial?
I recommend everyone go watch it. And I think you'll agree with me. Feels fucked up. So, when he was on Red Ice TV, he asserted that white supremacy isn't real and it's actually a plot of the Jews. Quote,
"Why does it always come back to the goddamn Jews?"
Quote, "The only thing that makes white supremacy a thought in people's mind is the media. And the media is controlled by who?" Should have been whom. "The only thing that makes white Teddy. Supremacy a thing is music. And it's controlled by who?" Should have been whom. "The movies, Hollywood, who controls that? Black people don't control that. White people don't control that. Our banking system. When we talk about people got sold out, banks got bailed out. Well, who controls these banks? The minute you say gay, trans, Jew, it's off limits. So I already know that my country, United States of America, is going to become an Islamic, Jewish, LGBT dominant state." Cool.
I don't think the Islam that he's afraid of is cool with the LGBT state that he's also afraid of.
He's afraid of a lot.
I would like it if these guys just kind of like sat down, like really worked out the fears that they have.
Sure.
And like the Venn diagrams that they exist within, you know? Like, I'm cool if I'm not cool. I'm just saying, like, it tracks ideologically.
See,
if you're afraid of Muslims.
That'll never.
Because they're, like, because the hard line, no.
That doesn't happen for a very specific reason. These people aren't interested in reality.
That's true.
They're interested in spreading a fear. Like, as if they, if this Hotep Jesus were to sit down and think about, like, what am I advocating? Does this make sense?
Right.
Does A, B, and C of the things I'm afraid of, could they possibly coexist in a state I should be afraid of?
Right.
He would have to sit back and be like, I gotta get a better argument. And he can't.
No, that's not happening.
Because he's not interested in that. It's not about that. It's about branding. It's about getting a cult-like Twitter following.
Right.
It's about what he wrote a fucking book about!
God, we should read that book.
He didn't write a book about culture. He didn't write a book about how it's important to free yourself from the shackles of the globalists
or whatever.
He wrote a book specifically that he sells at booksbybrian.com. It's B-R-Y-A-N. If you look for Books by Brian, spelled B-R-A-I-N.
It's just a different Brian.
No, it's brain. B-R-A-I-N.
No, B-R-I-A-N.
That's what I meant.
You said B-R-A-I-N twice.
Whatever. If you go to that, it's an Amazon
what
page.
What do you get at booksbybrain.com?
Yeah, I haven't checked that out.
Now we got to find that out.
It's Books by Krang. But like the book that he's selling that he's trying to push is about getting attention to yourself. It's not about the substantive issues.
Right.
And that leads me to believe that that's what he's more interested in. And at the same time, spreading some of these very deeply bigoted opinions that he has.
And, or, if you are a...
The deeply bigoted opinions are a way to get that attention in the cult-like following.
I was going
to
say, is he like a... He's like a comedian.
Well, yes, he is credited all the time. He was on Laura Ingraham's show, and he was credited as a comedian.
Yeah, but
because
like...
Because he put out that viral video. I don't know if he does stand-up comedy. Or
right.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. We should check to see if
YouTube, but.
No, but to that point, if you are a black man looking to get as much viral attention as you possibly can, perhaps taking the positions that people who have power want you to take in order to take advantage of the fact that you are black saying all of these things.
And discredit the actual voices who are working for the people, the workers of the world, the working class.
Then it's a solid strategy to get yours.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, it took Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, it took her winning this race in order for people to actually talk about her in the media.
Yeah.
And
yeah, The Intercept was like, hey, go her. And the rest of the world was like, we don't need to.
Right. It took the actual winning of the primary race in order for it to become a voice that's amplified. But if you go this route, it's very easy.
Still get attention.
Candace Owens makes millions of dollars. If
you're running a scam, you can find your niche. Yep. You know, like, yep, you can find it.
So Hotep Jesus wrote a blog post called Anti-Racism is Worse Than Racism, where he says,
why Dragon Ball is the exemplary of this fact.
Where he says, quote, what's so wrong with white people saying white lives matter? If you say black lives matter, doesn't that open the door for its antithesis? Now, this is dumb, but on one level, I respect it, kind of, because it's pretty amazing that even he understands that people who are saying white lives matter are intending to be the antithesis of black lives matter. People who say white lives matter would say that is not the case.
They would say all lives matter.
Right, right.
As a way of stealthing the, no, white lives matter more argument to the table.
He's at least, like bringing to the table, is like, yes, they are being racist, but I respect that.
All right, so, I mean, yeah, they're
he's trying to be a less funny version of Patrice O'Neill on some
right,
level.
Right,
nonsense. So he goes on to say, quote, when white people scream white power or white lives matter, black people get offended. I don't. I'm proud of these whites. It's self-determination, and I'll gladly applaud any group that exhibits self-determination. My counterpoint to that is that historically, the people who yell white power are also the ones who are really into hanging black men for looking at white women.
Yeah.
So it doesn't usually mean, I love being white and I like to celebrate, eat a brat. It's not that. It's usually, white power against you.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Usually the people who will throw an N-word at you.
Yeah.
That's...
Which, to that point, three black congressmen just introduced the maybe lynching should be a hate crime bill. It's 2018, guys.
Edgy.
It's 2018. We should have already been on that one a long time ago.
Seems like it. Also, there's three... So he also goes on to say, if black anti-protest groups and Antifa didn't show up in Charlottesville, the truth is none of us would be talking about Charlottesville. If you picture white nationalists as a fire, anti-protest groups would be the fan that intensifies it. My counterpoint to that is, nope!
Or you could say, if you picture, people who are tired of being murdered by white supremacists as a fire, then white supremacists are the people who are fanning it.
Well, the night before the Charlottesville rally, there were the fucking Nazis yelling blood and soil and ranting around with their tiki torches and what have you.
And their, what are the gator shirts?
Yeah, sure.
The
Crocs.
Khakis.
Yeah. Their Trump outfits.
God.
Yeah. So, I mean, and also, like, this really doesn't take into consideration that what happens with movements like fascism and white nationalism and white supremacy is that when it's unopposed, it grows. And when it's emboldened, it gets a foothold. And when that happens, everyone gets hurt. White people get hurt. Black people get hurt. Gays get hurt. Everyone across the spectrum gets hurt.
And the thing
Gypsies,
that...
historically... Although
yeah.
I should say Romani.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, and even that is, but the thing about that is really, really important in terms of like that don't feed the trolls narrative is it is a tiny, tiny part of America that is out and out white supremacist. But because they have gained such a foothold, the Republican bloc, because they're associated with that, are playing the team sports.
Yep.
Like, my parents are not really, because they don't even understand it,
right,
white supremacists.
No.
But they're on the team.
They're de facto.
So they're like, well, yeah, of course we support all these white supremacists because we're not on your team.
Right.
Your team has to be wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, now we're white supremacists.
Now we're accidentally, we've tricked ourselves into supporting this thing.
Exactly.
And we can't get away from it.
Exactly. So it is important that it's just a foothold, and the foothold was all it took in a team sport situation.
And that's why the protesting groups, the rally groups are essential, are crucial, because they are the people who are there who are saying, no.
Yeah.
This isn't okay.
Yeah.
Those people need to be rebuked at every turn.
Well, Dan, we're not being civil. We should allow them to gain their foothold and overtake our entire country.
You make a fair point.
In order to maintain a dialogue
and
with them
then,
that allows us to communicate and have them take over, but then they're nicer to us.
Sure. So this has been a little bit of a look at who Hotep Jesus is. He is clearly a Twitter buzz marketing scam kind of guy who sells a book about that stuff, which he's doing quite well. And I mean, one of the goals
is he doing well?
Well, one of the goals of his book is it tells you how you can use influencers for your advantage. Him being on Alex Jones's show and being like, "Hey, wouldn't it be great if we yelled together?" is exactly him doing that.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's using Alex Jones in a way that's probably spelled out in his book.
Oh no, he's nailing it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to. He's probably going to take that clip and use it as a selling point for his book.
Right.
You know, like that's the kind of hustle he's in. While at the same time, he's pitching this. Black nationalism and white nationalism should merge, and then we can all live separately hating each other, which I find to be a very unpleasant and that's an unattractive future.
I'm gonna go with he's being disingenuous.
I'm not sure he is, but I will say that he's stupid, and we'll deal with that in this next clip.
Is inaccurate. They don't plan parenthood, they plan death. And if you look at what they provide for women, period, the only thing they provide for women are prenatal vitamins. The rest is abortion. They should just call it the abortion clinic. They're not planning any parenthood. They're planning death.
And where do they stick them?
They take them and they put them in Pepsi. That's what they do with the babies. Uh-huh. They put them in Pepsi. They sell them. They sell the body parts. They sell the stem cells. And then they make money off of the black babies.
You drink
Matter
babies.
Of fact, Planned Parenthood makes more money off black babies than black people do. I'm sure bet.
I don't know how you can make money off of black babies.
I don't know what the black community would like to make off black babies. I don't understand.
What is it?
I don't know.
Six figures? Like, what are you hoping to make off of your black baby?
We've talked about the Pepsi thing, about the idea that there's research that is done that ends up using, some endometrial cells.
Right. I remember Coke versus Pepsi taste test.
It's all a load of bullshit. So he's making a pretty bold claim there that all they do is give people prenatal vitamins and stuff like that. And it's too vague. It's too vague for me to really work with. And thankfully, Hotep Jesus drops this on us next.
All right. Real quick, before we get into that, I just want to touch on this one stat.
Whatever you want to cover, go ahead.
So check this out, right? This is according to Planned Parenthood. They have 17,419 instances of prenatal care services versus 3.5 million STD tests and 323,000 abortions, right? So prenatal care services only account for about 5% of their services. Only 5% of their services are for Planned Parenthood, and black people are backing them. This is an atrocity. I did a story about this. It's called Planned Parenthood Wants to Kill Black People on HotepNation.com.
Nope, they don't. So, what do you think about this? Broad question, I admit.
I think it is an interesting... I suppose it is the feather in the cap of white racists trying to be not racist while supporting racist policies. Like, I've heard my dad.
Can you talk me through that?
I've heard my dad quote that, like, did you know that Planned Parenthood kills more black people than, you know, like that whole thing where it's like.
Alex does that all the time. He has that Reverend Childress on.
No, you're couching your white supremacy in, like, care.
You're,
and it's insane to me.
You're calling, giving, black women healthcare, murder.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
You're doing when you do stuff like that.
Because
you're implying in some way that people are forced into it or something like that, which is ludicrous.
And that's a brilliant, dumb thing to say because that assuages the am I a racist? I think I am, that white racists have.
Well, it's like, it's trying to repackage a belief that you already have because you're mad and hate women, which is, gotta get rid of Planned Parenthood, and now you're repackaging that into like, also, I'm pro-black.
No, what it is, it's God, it's the God saying that, black people should be slaves. That's what it is. It's that all over again. That, do you know? No, you don't understand. It makes them happier if they're slaves.
Submit to the authority as God's will.
That's what you really should be doing. That's the way to be happy. Don't fall into this trap of like, oh yeah, freedom. Buh, you're bad at it. Like it's condescending. It's racist, and it's all couched in this language of like, you're being neither of those.
Well, that's an interesting approach that you have to it, because the truth of this is very different. And that is that Hotep Jesus is getting this information from a video put out by a group called Live Action. They publicize these statistics in a dishonest way, completely out of context, specifically to attack Planned Parenthood. While it's true that a report came out covering the time of 2014 to 2015 that reported that from 8 Planned Parenthood locations that were surveyed, 17,419 instances of prenatal services were reported. However, it does take into account that not all of the Planned Parenthood locations in this country are equipped to provide prenatal care.
Huh.
And that is not really the primary function that Planned Parenthood offers.
Huh.
And it is never claimed to be what they offer.
Huh.
It is only a thing that's available at certain Planned Parenthood locations that have the specific doctors and the resources in order to afford prenatal care.
That's when you think about it, prenatal care is really hard to give.
And it's not their primary objective. Further, these statistics are a classic case of cherry picking. Assuming that the 17,419 number does cover all the prenatal care that Planned Parenthood offers, again, the report was only covering a cross-section of some of the locations. It was like 8 out of the 56 that they surveyed, something along those lines. And so there are probably more than that in the country, but it wasn't caught up in their statistics.
Yeah.
But assuming that that's all of them, let's assume that.
Yeah.
Hotep then compares that to the approximately 324,000 abortions reported in that time frame nationally by Planned Parenthood, which he then uses to assert that prenatal care is only 5% of the services offered by Planned Parenthood. What he's trying to do is get the listener to assume that abortion must be most of what they offer. This is not true. He even admits when he's talking about that the report reflected that Planned Parenthood offered 3.5 million STD tests, but what he fails to point out is that in addition to that, they provided 682,000 cancer screenings and almost 3 million individual cases of contraception services. These people, like Alex Jones, like Hotep Jesus, who make these attacks on Planned Parenthood, fucking know this. They know damn well what abortion...
Planned Parenthood does.
Ooh, slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
They know damn well what Planned Parenthood does, and they insist on lying about it, not because they so sincerely want to get rid of abortion, but because Planned Parenthood offers an essential resource whereby women can be in control of their bodies and thus their own lives. They use images of fetuses and terror stories about Kermit Gosnell purposefully, purely to further their real goal, which is depriving women of agency. So, all of this information that Hotep Jesus is using comes from a group called Live Action. Live Action is an anti-abortion group started by then 15-year-old Lilla Rose, who got her start posing as a pregnant teenager in James O'Keefe's stunts.
Posing.
She pretended to be pregnant. She was a teenager. I guess half of it was true.
Now, imagine if she was pregnant. I bet she would be on the other side.
I bet she wouldn't have been going along with James O'Keefe's bullshit.
I bet she would have been just going to Planned Parenthood.
That's a fascinating thing I didn't even think about. Yes, probably. So she hung out with James O'Keefe. They made a couple of videos, and then she met a guy named David Daliden, who we've talked about before. He's the guy who ran the Center for Medical Progress stunts.
Oh, those were great,
though. From 2015 that Alex Jones was completely tricked by.
They nailed us.
He then became Lilla's director of research.
That's not good.
As is the case with all of the work of these involved parties, O'Keefe and Daliden, the finished, edited product is always a complete misrepresentation of the raw footage. As
proven by courts.
Many people, also beyond courts even, like some of this is just people who have seen all the raw footage.
Yeah.
They're like, this is absolutely not the case. You're misrepresenting everything.
Yeah.
And that's the case with Live Action. That's the case with James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. That's the case with the Center for Medical Progress. It's all the same shit. So, Hotep Jesus is just coming in, misrepresenting this stuff. Like, even if he wasn't getting this information very clearly from an anti-abortion propaganda outlet,
right,
he's still misrepresenting it in terms of, like, the main thing that Planned Parenthood is about is preventative care.
Yeah.
They're not, like, they offer prenatal services in some places where they can, but that's not their main emphasis. That's for, like, doctors and hospitals.
Yeah.
That's for OBGYNs where they practice. It's about preventative care. And when you look at the almost 3 million cases of contraceptive services that they offer, when you look at, and even take away the reproductive aspect of it, 682,000 cancer screenings that are crucial for women, crucial for cervical cancer. It's insane. Like, the idea that you would take when he wants to talk about all this stuff and say, like, oh, prenatal care is only 5% of this stuff. I mean, what percent is the abortions when you have 300,000 or so abortions and then 3 million contraceptive services, 3.5 million STD tests, 680,000 cancer screenings? All of that dwarfs the abortions that they do. But you don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that because that's not what you care about. That's not what they care about. They care about disenfranchising women. And I know why. And it's because this next clip.
Straight white men, straight black men are under attack. We have become public enemy number one in the eyes of the
because
black
we're the potential
media.
Leaders.
Ugh.
Because we are the potential leaders, because we are the ones that can actually protect people from the globalists. So they have to get us out the box, out the paint ASAP. And they're using feminists to do this.
Okay.
They are using.
Mm-hmm.
They're using. Nobody's ever capable of acknowledging that women have agency.
Nope.
Doesn't seem like it.
Nope.
It's condescending just to them. Your obvious point is like, well, we don't want women to have agency over this.
You could just say that.
Yeah.
They could just say that.
Yeah, that's exactly what their base wants to hear.
I mean, it would be interesting to see, like, what kind of support it would get. I mean, it wouldn't poll great.
Well, I mean, like, the support that separating children from their families get is ridiculously high.
Conservatives are fine with it.
Yeah, conservatives are fine with you saying whatever it is that... That's what we've learned.
That would be...
What we've learned from this...
You've introduced a fascinating thought to me, which is something that I... Regrettably. The amount of time I spend with this stuff, you'd think this thought would dawn on me. But it... You have just made me realize that probably if you pulled a bunch of really distasteful things, like women shouldn't choose stuff or something
like
that.
Oh.
You'd probably see
very
disappointing numbers.
Same numbers.
White women would probably have drastically high.
They would have 50%. Whatever Doug Jones got in his election, what was it, like 57% of white women?
Right.
That's exactly how many women would support women not being allowed to choose
things. Doug Jones was on the good side.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You're talking about...
I'm talking about the other guy.
Yeah.
My bad.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Doug Jones was the guy who won.
Yeah. By the hair of his neck. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a really fucked up thought experiment. I actually would be interested to see that. I don't know if anybody's polling that sort of stuff. Like, the idea of, like, blacks shouldn't have rights. We should all live separately.
Why wouldn't they?
Women shouldn't be able to choose when men say otherwise.
It seems like that's such a more important
being gay
poll.
Is a phase. Like, pull those sorts of things and see. Because I imagine the numbers would be, we wouldn't want to look at them.
Yeah. Can we, like, let's not pull dog whistle questions. Let's just pull the questions that these people, why are they dog whistling? We already have a president who's like, okay, the Central Park Five was innocent. Fine. But we should still kill him.
Why even bother? To Jesus' credit, I don't think he's dog whistling. He's dog whistling a little on Alex's show because he knows there's more people listening.
He's influencing.
But in his, he's trying to get the influence rub.
Yeah.
But like in terms of his actual stuff that he puts out, I don't think that there's any bones about it. Like, I think he's being very clear. I hate the Jews. They're behind everything.
Right.
And white nationalism is fucking cool. Black nationalism and white nationalism should merge.
Team
and let's
up.
All live separately.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's dog whistling at all, except again, being good at media.
Yeah.
He's savvy. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Alex, his whole entire existence is about the dog whistle.
Just stop it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's proven that they're fine with it, so just fucking go whole hog. Let us just at least see what it is. Because I guarantee that, yeah, just like I'm saying, 57% of white women are like, I'm against white women being able to choose things. We should be in the home, barefoot and pregnant.
I mean,
what else do you say at this point? Because you can't possibly believe that women should have the right to choose anything if you're voting for the people you're voting for.
It does seem that way. It seems that way, but you also have to consider, like, the willful ignorance of so many folk, you know, like,
right,
that part, you take intentionality away from it a little bit, and
of course
there are so many people who just vote on hot button trigger issues,
right.
I don't know, man. It's a mess.
It's a fucking mess. I don't know what we're doing. That's the thing. There's just no communicate. You can't do it. You can't fucking do it. Let's bail. Let's Dan,
I've been thinking about this a while.
You and I are officially seceding from the union. Knowledge Fight
is Republic.
The first independent republic.
We're a sovereign podcast
of Dan's apartment.
You should try and call the White House again. Tell them we're seceding.
How do I register?
Call the White House and tell them we're seceding. Or call Larry Nichols. Don't call Larry Nichols?
No, I don't want to call
it's
Larry
Nichols.
It's not too late. I don't want to call Larry Nichols.
I want to know what he thinks.
I just don't want to talk. If we're going to do this, we have to plan in advance. I have to call him and set up a time.
I hate to be the bully here, but.
I can't just call him out of the blue. The last time we set up a time, we did the whole thing.
All right.
Look, Dan, you don't know how media works.
This isn't me.
I have to call all the Jews together. They have to get into a meeting room. It's so many people. Netanyahu's wife is there.
Sure.
She's the corrupt monster.
Absolutely.
So we have to do that whole thing. Then I get to call Larry Nichols.
So this episode has been mostly Alex doing his tease work, his edge play about the Supreme Court.
That's a great way of putting it.
And we've ended up with the orgasm that is Andrew Napolitano. Certainly hope that is not what comes to pass, but I imagine it probably is. I think it'll probably be floated, but I really hope everyone's smart enough to just be like, let's shut down the government.
Not anymore.
Let's fucking stop this.
Not anymore.
But we'll see. I don't know. I mean,
everybody's a coward under Nancy Pelosi.
The world cannot, I mean, I say the world can't get darker, but it certainly can.
Oh, it's on its way.
It can get, yeah.
Oh. Dan, the world gets darkest before the dawn.
No, it doesn't.
And that dawn is surprisingly climate change. So the world will get very dark, and then we will all be burned alive mm-hmm. by the light.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you brought up earlier the Central Park Five, because Alex,
how can that possibly come up?
Because we have one more clip left of Alex talking to Hotep Jesus, and this is one of the lamest things I've ever heard.
The black community, going back 30, 40 years, knew that Trump was actually just pro everybody. He likes everybody. And then they now try to demonize him from the corporate level. But deep down, everybody that's known Trump knows that's not true.
Yeah,
absolutely. The black community knows it's not true for the most part.
For the most part.
Oh, boy, black community.
I'd like to poll the black community that we're not allowed to live in his buildings. I'd like to poll the black community, who are aware of the Central Park
right.
Five
what,
situation.
What is it? But who was it that pointed out that the first time that Trump ever was in the newspaper was because Nixon's Department of Justice was like, whoa, you're being way too racist.
Too much housing discrimination.
Yeah. Nixon. Nixon's the godfathers of redlining was like, Jesus,
you've
this is
too
racist.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's his whole career. That's
yeah.
his whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
And all
he's
the,
a white supremacist.
And everything you've always heard from him over the years, over and over again about eugenics, about his genes being superior and stuff like that. Like the idea that 30 years ago, black people knew, they fucking knew he
they
loves everybody.
Knew he loved everybody.
He loves
just
everybody.
Not in his apartments. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, look,
hey.
I love you, but out there somewhere else.
Hey, man. Hey.
You know what? It's that mentality that Alex believes. Like, it does come, like, this is another point where I think we're going to have to just suck it up and swallow a brutal pill. That is, this isn't hypocritical because this still follows Alex Jones's belief in like free association. So like, I think he would say it's not racist that Trump doesn't want black people living in his buildings.
Right.
That's the right of free association.
It's not homophobic that they don't want to make a fucking cake or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's fine. It's no big deal. Yeah. Civil Rights Act doesn't exist to Alex.
Nope. Boring.
Yeah. Cool.
LBJ was terrible. Bah.
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 You killed Kennedy.
He did kill Kennedy. And then, what? Did he jerk off over his corpse? I believe that was on the plane.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why his brain's gone.
Yep.
Anyway, this has been, our attempt to talk about, modern day Alex Jones. I feel like none of us enjoyed this all that much. Although I love the mythology part. I will say.
I know you did love
it. I'll say that is one of the only things I enjoyed. I love it when he brings up something that I can be like, ah.
That you can really sink your teeth into.
No.
Not just with research, but with like years long, in-depth study.
You should have seen. So I'm doing this, in-depth, breakdown
None Dare to Call It a Conspiracy.
Yes. And at one point in it, Gary Allen, the writer of None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, talks about Diogenes, and he talks about how he was going around Athens looking for one, honest man, which is the myth about Diogenes.
Right.
Because
we all know it's Dave from IT.
Bullshit. It's so much fun whenever people pull that out because I know Greek. I can translate the Greek that, it comes from. And it does not say that. He is absolutely not saying that. Diogenes was a fucking weirdo, in the same way that Socrates was a complete weirdo. But Diogenes was even worse. He would like masturbate at the marketplace and like scream at people. He was into cannibalism. He didn't believe in private property rights.
Right.
Like he was just a fucking out there weirdo.
Right.
And when he, the line that everyone mistranslates, I'm going around looking for one honest man, what it really translates to is something that I would describe as what a crazy person would say. He was walking around at night with a lantern looking for a man. That's it. The word for honest and just in Greek is diakos, and it is not in that sentence. It is just anthropos, which is, I'm looking for a man. Which is what you would say. Like, if you're caught out somewhere where you're not supposed to be, what are you doing? Looking for a guy.
I'm looking for one hungry man.
I'm looking for a guy.
I need somebody to eat with.
Right.
I am looking for a man to eat.
No. So I just love all this.
Looking for a man.
So whenever things like that, like, fall into my sphere, I really get excited about it, but the rest of stuff is like, fuck all this noise. I don't care. Like, there's nothing for me to debunk. There's nothing for us to talk about in terms of Andrew Napolitano being a Supreme Court justice, other than us saying, hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know what fake sources he's going from. Obviously, it's just talking to Roger Stone.
Yeah, of course.
I can't debunk his conversations with Roger Stone. It's useless. All I can do.
Yeah, that's like him saying that, Arpaio is up for the Supreme Court justice.
Might as well be.
Yeah. Fucking sure.
Right.
There's no bottom. We don't have a bottom anymore.
No. No. But the value of the past, when we go over the past, the value of it is that we get to have distance. We get to have time from his narratives. So we can see how things have played out. Is this the case? Was he completely full of shit? We can find the things that he was referencing. We can see how it all worked out. We can see, what he's right about, but it's almost never the case.
No.
But like there is that like perspective we can take on it. Whereas modern day stuff, like we run into an issue where he's lying all the time. We know it. It's what he does. That is what we know. But he's saying all this stuff that we can't prove or disprove. It's this mid-ground nonsense where we're just like, all right, he's saying this.
I don't know. As a show, though, it is, I feel, important to share in the contrast. Like if you are preemptively, or perhaps even somewhat defensively saying that we are doing a disservice by covering the present.
I don't,
because we're not.
I don't mean to.
You're not saying that.
Right.
I misspoke on that. I mean just more like, this is why we're not covering the present. I feel like it is still important for us as a show to go back into the past, which provides context for the present, and then we can come back to the present, what, once a week?
Maybe.
Or whatever, and see what the difference is. Because you can just hear it. If you listen to this episode versus our last 2009 episode, you will instantly know there's a huge difference, and yet it's the exact same, and here is why, and here is where, and that only gives you more ammunition.
There is value to it, and I'm not saying we should never do it. It's a situation where, I mean, I'm a human being, and it's not like it pains me to listen to modern day stuff. It just bores me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that a lot of people on the Facebook group have the impression in their head that it's like, I get, like, all up and like, I can't handle, or not that that might be too much, but like, it bothers me to listen to modern day Alex. And it doesn't. It just feels like I'm wasting time. You know, like I, that's it. I just feel like I listen to an episode like this and I have this takes 3 hours to listen to, and then edit takes even more time. And then us doing this, and in it, the only value really is like, we met Hotep Jesus.
And that was nice.
Alex misrepresents mythology. Like, beyond that, all the other stuff is just him yelling into the void. It's nonsense. It's just sound and fury signifying nothing.
At the same time, we're just yelling into the void.
No, totally. But
why can't we yell into the void with the guy who's yelling into the void? But, like fucking Goku.
But here's why. Because it gets repetitive.
Yeah.
Like, it's
That's
the
true.
Same stuff we've yelled into the void about over and over again. We're still trying to do a show. And when it's like, he says, like, the globalists are central banking cartels, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, we've already talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do it again if you want. I want novelty. I want to learn, and I want more, like, fresh content for the show.
Right.
I enjoy as much, like, I don't mind, like I'm saying, I don't mind listening to present day stuff, and I don't mind covering it from time to time, but like, it takes hours of my day that are fucking wasted when I listen to, like, the other episodes that I listened to that we didn't cover. Like, that's a 3 hour waste of my time.
No, I totally get it. I can't, I'm not mad
about this.
No, I'm not saying that you're mad. I'm
more saying that for the listeners.
I'm not. We've been doing this long enough that I know what you're really saying. No, I feel the same way about the right wing outrage. Like, anytime I check Twitter or read the news where it's like, Fox News said, I'm out. I don't give a shit. They're boring. They're boring to me because they're just going to say, if you were like, what's your Fox News headline? I'd be like, blank is evil because blank and liberals blank. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. They're playing Mad Libs.
Basically.
I get it. I understand that.
Anti-communist Mad Libs.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's a further piece that you need to really take into consideration. Alex Jones, in his worldview, what I mean by that is marketing paradigm, is he has to be under...
That's a really great way of putting it.
He has to be under threat. There always has to be a threat, otherwise he can't sell his ship.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, think about this. He sells disaster supplies and stuff like that. If the end actually...
Does he sell a year's worth of food, though?
Well, yes, he does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he sell a year's worth of food?
Oh, yeah.
What's the bonus on it, though?
He doesn't do ads for it on the show anymore, but you can buy...
You can buy a bucket of food?
You can buy buckets of food. Not the same shape of bucket as Jim Baker.
Well, that's good.
They're
Branding
flatter.
Is important.
They're flatter buckets.
Branding is important.
Jim Baker's got that round bucket. But...
I choose Jim Baker's bucket.
This is something that I've been thinking about since we did that Jim Baker episode, especially, and that is that the con of disaster preparedness only works until the disaster comes. Like, once it happens, you no longer have a cash flow.
Right.
So, the idea...
Your disaster is shared the same way everybody else is.
Right. Like, if you sell survival radios and, like, Jim Baker's big old potato buckets and stuff like that... If shit goes down, your supply chain is busted. Everything is destroyed. You can't make money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The gig is up, and now you are left to live on all that millions of survival food rations you have at your Pleasant Valley.
See, now that kind of does work for me, though, right?
Hold on.
Okay.
So the game, because we know these are fucking con men and aren't acting off reality or truth in any way, they know that it's not in their best interest for disaster to actually happen.
Right.
It's only in their best interest to make people scared that disaster is about to happen.
Right.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is that the game that Alex Jones is playing now in his marketing paradigm, which I'm going to now replace.
That's a perfect, for real, that is the perfect phrase
to use. I'm going to replace worldview with marketing paradigm.
That's a great way of putting it.
What he needs to do now, because he's shifted his entire operation into this, Trump is the king of the anti-globalists, except for that one night that I said that he was shoving ISIS up his dirty asshole when I was drunk on air.
And except for that one night where he said he was a globalist.
Well, that was... So since he's pivoted to that model, what he has to do now is a maintenance game. What he has to do is, you know, make fear where you can, but it's just maintenance. So, like, he plays this, like, get afraid of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Get scared of that because he knows, like, on one level, he knows that it's a threat, that democratic socialism is rising and, that they are gaining in membership and stuff like that. But he knows that, like, you know what, a little bit down the road, if there's more democratic socialists, that's fucking good for his business.
Yeah.
So he knows, like, let's get a little bit scared about this, but let's not try and get her killed or anything like that, because then that's going to be negative to our interest. He's in, like, when I watch, I've watched, like, three shows from this week in terms of, like, trying to make this episode, and the thing that I come away from it with is that he is in a pathetic holding pattern. He's just, like, worse than I've seen in years from him. There is just a, like... And I know that in the past you've said he doesn't know how to win. And that's probably a piece of it in the fact that he's on the winning team in terms of, like, they control all of the government.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know how to, I'm having a very difficult time expressing this because what it comes down to is you have a conspiracy theorist, propagandist, who now his job is keep the base riled, but maintain the status quo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's boring. It's boring and pathetic when I watch it. I don't know.
Do you know what's fascinating about that?
If he wanted to live his principles, as we pretend he has over and over again.
Right.
He should be saying, kill Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He should be saying that she is the biggest threat to democracy and someone should take her out.
She's a globalist communist who is trying to come after
your
guns.
She's beyond globalist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the globalists aren't necessarily even the socialist communist folk. You know, like, he would... Like, I don't know. Everything about the modern day just bums me out because it's so pathetic. It's so pathetic because it's not like I want him to advocate death for people, but he should.
Like, yeah, I agree.
If he believed a damn thing he says he believes, he should be out calling for blood.
I agree.
And he's not because he knows that's not how I make money.
Yeah.
And it just... I just think, who cares? Because the other thing, too, is, like, as we see all this information that we talked about at the beginning of the show, like, Kim Jong-un is making more nuclear tests, Roger Stone, the walls are closing in on him. Things are happening. The information just keeps seeping out.
Right.
The picture is becoming clearer and clearer of what really happened, not just in the 2016 election, but for years before that.
Yeah.
And Alex kind of knows, and he's like,
Yeah, but and this is a conversation that you don't want to have and you really don't want me to start.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's see.
So let's find out.
Let's see.
Yeah, so should we.
Calling for blood?
Yeah. Like, realistically, put it all together. All right. We have an illegitimate government that was assisted by a foreign power, not least of which was put in by a minority of the country that was illegitimately stolen by how much fucking bullshit. All of this gerrymandering, all of this shit. We have a Supreme Court justice that should never have been there.
Totally.
Because it was fucking should've destroyed by a goddamn
civility.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of this shit put together. It's important to remember that the American Revolution happened because people had to pay like 2 cents more in tax. Like that's all it took.
I just threw a pen at you because no.
That's
it was
all it took.
Guns. It's because they took their
all
guns.
All it took. That's literally all it took.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, I am bummed out by these protests. It's incredible. It's fucking incredible to see millions of people walk throughout this entire country supporting immigrants' rights.
Mm.
But we saw the same thing at the Women's March.
Yep.
We saw the same thing at however fucking many marches.
We saw maybe world records of turnouts.
World records of turnouts.
And now.
And here the fuck we are.
Flash forward to the present. We are most likely going to have a Supreme Court justice put in who undoes
yeah.
access to abortion.
So explain to me how it's not justified that we call for blood. Like in the just in pure American history.
I would say from our perspective, we can't, because that's illegal.
That's technically true.
It would.
I'm calling for blood politically.
Right. I mean, there is that, like, I mean, we don't have sponsors, so, I mean, who really gives a shit what we say. But I do think it's probably, we're on the wrong side of the law. If we advocate violence against anybody.
What is it, a year before we're already on the wrong side of the law just for saying mean things about Trump?
Probably, but here's the only, and I know, I'm a fucking middle guy. The only.
No, I mean, look, it's hard to be a middle guy when the guy to the left of you is saying, let's murder people.
But
okay.
I'm closer to that than the middle.
I know.
But the reason that I have this like hesitance about what you're saying is that, like, I know that there's a lot of people who listen to our show. I don't think anyone would hurt anybody, but I worry about the rhetoric that you're, presenting only because I don't think that the targets would be the right targets.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't think that innocent people should be hurt, and that is what would end up happening if any organization, not just our podcast,
right.
if Alex did it, the wrong people would get hurt.
Now.
It would end up in a situation where very innocent people are collateral damage of some bullshit, which is probably right-minded.
Right.
There should be blood in the streets
right.
for the situation that we have on our hands. Now, Alex believes there should be blood on the streets because the globalists and the 1913 taking over the But, like, the wrong people would get hurt in both equations.
But,
and I don't like that. That's why I'm in the middle in terms of this stuff.
In my defense,
I'm not saying that you're advocating for that.
I know. We're both so polite and civil to each other. In my defense, I have never advocated for wholesale anything. And in fact, to the point, I have constantly and consistently made the difference between a nation and a government. Exactly. I don't think that. I don't think that there should be blood in the streets in that fucking, whatever conservative stereotype you want to believe, because I'll be goddamned if there aren't a lot of them.
We should find Scott Pruitt, find a tall oak tree.
Yes! Yes! The Koch brothers should have their homes burned down. If there was a just and loving God, they would not be allowed to go outside, while at the same time their house would be burned down with them inside of it. That is the reality of the situation. And the fact that every day, instead of that, we get fucking people murdering journalists.
It seems
that says to me the very obvious thing, which is that one side has been fighting a war against us for the past 15, 20, whatever, America, for the past all of America. And we have never, ever fought back against the real enemy.
Right.
We're not doing it.
It's a war of aggression versus a war of attrition. The two sides are playing different games.
and we can't play different games anymore. They won their game. We're losing ours.
It sounds like what you're saying is it's time for the long arm of the law to put a few of them down. Send them all to their maker, and he'll settle them down.
I mean, realistically.
I'm trying to use Toby Keith lyrics.
I know.
I know.
I was really trying hard to ignore it. not as an insult to you. No, I mean, here's genuinely what I would prefer to happen. I would prefer an Alexandria, Ocasio-Cortez become an attorney general of fucking New York State.
Right.
And because, what, do you think that the Koch brothers haven't committed fucking crimes?
In New York City?
Dan, how long did it take? Don't you dare do it.
I didn't.
I'm gonna give you plus one, and then I'm gonna take it away immediately.
But I didn't.
How long did it take us to find out that Alex was committing a crime?
Like a concrete crime, it took probably like 6 months.
Right. It took some investigation.
Yeah. But also I wasn't.
So elect an attorney general that's going to spend 6 months investigating the Koch brothers.
But from day
because
one.
Because you can fuck them up.
I probably could have figured it out in the first month if I had been focused.
If you'd been pointed. Yeah.
That wasn't what I was trying to do.
Exactly.
So yeah.
If you really, and I'm not going to lie. If you really wanted to take Soros down, fucking start investigating, because if you're a billionaire, there's a crime. There's a crime that happened.
Yeah, you could probably find a crime. The only thing that I find so distasteful and dissatisfying about all this is like all the crimes that Alex and his ilk and commenters on our website about it have pointed out, like all of the crimes they allege he's committed aren't real. Like I'm sure there are things that he's done that have been shady as fuck.
Right.
But they aren't the things that he's accused of.
Right. I don't give a shit if they...
And fucking put him in prison too, then.
Exactly!
I'm not here to defend him.
Exactly!
And Hillary too. You find a crime
You find a crime with Hillary? Fuck off! I don't give a shit!
You find a crime
Bill should be in jail! These people should be in jail! This is a team effort by the rich!
All we're saying here, this has gone
way off the rails.
Way off the rails.
Didn't we wrap up the episode like an hour ago?
I think, everybody should shake off, you know, here's what we can't do ever again. We can't have another Solon, and that's what we need. I know I keep bringing up Solon because I think he's the best, ruler of all time.
But it can't happen.
I know that it can't, but it is the thing that we need, and that thing is never going to happen. And it's weird that the way that you present yourself in your hypothetical, dictatorship is very similar to him in terms of like, he was like, I'm going to make these rules and then I'm leaving. I'm out.
You should kill me. There should be real consequences for me saying.
So you have that parallel there.
Yeah.
But we need someone to have another, skazakthesia. The shaking off of burdens that
right.
people have. We need people to be forgiven of dirty debt. We need that to
yes.
happen.
Yes.
That sort of thing needs to happen because back in the days of ancient Greece, it was people who sold themselves into slavery, and now we have modern equivalences of it. We have absolutely modern equivalents.
I mean, just fucking short-term cash for car loans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what else is that?
There's so many people who are underwater because of
college
things
loans. Like, fucking... But the reason that we can't have Solon is because Trump sold himself as Solon.
Right.
In the same way
that's the populism lie.
Exactly. In the same way that we can't be like, they're coming for your guns and blah, 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 and all that shit because the hard right has taken that territory. In the same way, Trump pretended to be that Solon. He pretended to be that I am the guy who is going to fix everything because that's really what you want because you know
Solon
ultimately
wasn't that.
No,
he was like I don't want to do this.
I know, but that's what Trump was selling himself as, which is why he did better at it.
Right. And but, again, I'm talking about Solon because I know fucking Grecian history. What's up, Alex?
Well, Solon did fight the Kraken.
They did.
Yeah.
In Iceland in the 1300s.
Yep. Yep.
Ugh.
With Liam Neeson.
Man, I don't know. I don't know how to put a button on this, but I think where we spun off way too far was the idea that you want blood on the streets, and not want, but it's weird that it's not happening.
At the very least, I'm going to go with Pruitt. I feel like Pruitt should be murdered in front of everybody. He's the most corrupt person I think I've ever seen. That's incredible. He's really killing it on the ground. I almost admire him. Well, he's so corrupt.
What we come back to now, what we're talking about is now, this entire thing, by that I mean the last 2 years, has been the normalization of corruption. All of this, like, corruption is just the status quo.
Betsy DeVos, as things, Pruitt. Yeah.
As people get away with stuff, it becomes more okay that other people get away with stuff, and you get away with bigger stuff. And it just keeps going, and it just keeps going. And that's what, I think that's the trend that we're going to see. Now, unfortunately, this is the part that sucks. Because, like, if you had a situation where you had just a fucking business Trump, like a Trump who is just like, I want to be corrupt as fuck and make a ton of money.
Yeah.
You could end up in a really harsh kleptocracy where you have like the family businesses, at the expense of, all other contracts making billions of dollars and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would not be a good state of affairs for things to be in. The problem is the merging of that with people like the Stephen Millers of the world.
Right.
And the merging of that, like, corruption is cool mentality with overt white nationalism, white separatism, white supremacy.
Right.
Those sorts of things. And you know what? Fuck. I don't give a shit. Let's just lay it out. Everyone who's afraid of Barack Obama being a black supremacist were wrong. But even if they were right, it wouldn't have mattered in the same way that it would matter that Trump is a white supremacist.
Agreed.
Because Barack Obama, even as president, would have such a tough road to hoe. You know, like, he would have a really hard time in terms of getting that black supremacy up the hill, much like Atlas.
There you go. I knew that was coming!
Pushing that up that boulder up the hill. And the reason that it's so scary to have white supremacy merged with power is because it's so already there.
And
it's such
just,
already the state of affairs.
Like, we've never seen it before. We've seen white supremacy merged with power. You know what it is. Everybody knows what it is. And we just are afraid to say it because we feel like all of us, not all of us. I mean, obviously there's you and me and the policy wonks and so many other brilliant people, the people who are marching, like amazing people, but the status quo is terrified of acknowledging that. Because if you acknowledge that, if you're Nancy Pelosi and you go out and you say, we are seeing white supremacy merge with power, we've seen this before, then all of a sudden everything that she has ever believed,
it behooves you to act in a much more severe way than you are willing to act if you are Nancy Pelosi.
We are seeing white supremacy merged with not just power, but monetary power. And that monetary power also supports me.
And centralized power.
Exactly.
And this terrible surveillance state that we've created over the years.
Yep.
Everything blends into each other, and it's fucking terrible.
And that's why Roger Stone and Alex Jones made fun of your beard, Dan.
I think that's really what I wanted to end on.
Now that's a button.
Alex, look, I've never, over the course of the time that we've done this show, it's not fair. I one time did send Alex a private message. I DM'd him.
Oh, did you?
His DMs are open. And
of course
I DM'd
they are.
Him a gif of,
the We're Coming.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
I DM'd
we're
him.
Here, we're here. I apologize.
I DM'd him that. But other than that, that was because I was really drunk one night. But
yeah.
I haven't really, like, made any contact or tried to fuck with them at all. But I've been really resisting, like, just tweeting at him, your beard sucks. Like, just, cause it sucks so much. I've never been more triggered, like, on a base level that, like, I know that I hate his rhetoric. I hate what he stands for. But when I see that beard,
that's what really gets you.
I've never wanted to punch him more.
See,
I don't know why.
Now I'm excited because we've done this episode, because I know the beard exists. I get to go look at that beard.
Oh, it's such a bad beard.
Ugh.
And this beard on my face is fantastic.
It is, Dan.
Thank you. also fantastic is our website, knowledgefight.com.
Beautiful transition.
Thank you.
Do you know where else you can find your beautiful beard?
I hear there might be a picture on Twitter.
It's at @knowledge_fight.
We're also on Facebook.
Indeed we are.
Yep. Also on iTunes. You can find us there. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Sure. That helps people out. I guess that helps people find us.
Yep.
Yeah. Would it be cool if more people found us? I just want to be invited on Fox News. That's as the happen. Liberal angry guy.
It'd be so
much fun.
No, the Combs days are over.
It'd be so much fun. I want to be that guy.
So, Jordan, we've come to the end of this episode, and once again, it's your turn.
Is it my turn? I feel like it's your turn.
I always say it's your turn.
I have a never ending cavalcade of people that I want to tell to go fuck themselves.
I feel like it really is more like relevant to you than me. Sometimes I feel like a real, like, someone gets in my craw. But generally speaking, I feel like telling people to fuck themselves is sort of your territory.
You just can't tap into that primordial anger.
No, I could, but
you could?
I think it's
Dan,
better. I
Dan,
think,
I, feel it.
I think it's more sincere when you do.
Dan, I see within you the Super Saiyan.
Hey, Hotep Jesus, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.